Good morning. Wow, everybody's here already. That's awesome. You guys have a great day yesterday? Man, Danny came out on all firing on all cylinders yesterday. That was powerful. Yeah, who's ready for another day? Whew. I'm still recovering from yesterday. Man, I took a ton of... Who took like pages and pages and pages of notes? Awesome. Well, we've got a powerful day planned for you today. And you want to make sure you're doing is figure out exactly where you're at, because sometime in the rest of the day, we're going to be moving the chairs around and you want to get yourself back into the same spot. We put tape lines on the floor to help us do that later, but make sure you know where you're at and who your seat partner is. The seat you have right now is your seat for the rest of the day, so you don't have to worry too much about that. Let's see. Also, please help me welcome back the UK, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. If you guys could wave at those guys. We are super stoked you're with us. Again, there is no audio or video recording. Please turn off your cell phones. You're going to want to really focus in on what we're going to be talking about today. Right now, I've got the privilege and honor to bring up a couple that has been plugging in for a few years now and has had some massive transformation in their life in every single area. How many of you guys are looking for that in your life right now? Listen to what these people have to say, because they have done some outrageous things. So please help me welcome Richard and Lauren Moffitt. Come on up, guys. Give them a round of applause. There you go.
Thank you.
Did you bring some people with you?
Yeah.
Where are your people?
She got a fan club.
All right, over
here.
Over
there and over there.
Over there?
Oh yeah, right there.
I can't hear them. Awesome job, awesome job. Well, I just heard their story, some of the details of their story, and man, it is powerful. So I wanted to have these guys come up and share a little bit about what they've been doing. How long have you guys been plugging in now?
It's about 3.5 years now.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome. And you come pretty much every month, right?
Yeah, except for the last year. Okay. We just had a baby. Yeah,
which number baby is that?
Number 5.
So awesome. Good job, Richard.
What?
It's awesome. Fantastic. So, Richard, you started coming like the month after she came, right? And then what happened in your career?
Yeah, I did. So, of course, because I'm... Actually, I won't say I'm busier than she is, but because of other things, you know, I can't come as frequently as Lauren does.
Sure.
But yeah, so I plugged in a month after her, and I mean, it's just dramatic changes, you know, from just learning the different things that Danny has taught us. I actually implemented those things at my job, like literally as soon as I got back. And it's like that, you know, promotions after promotions started happening. My salary literally like almost triple.
Wow.
Over, you know, since I started plugging into Danny.
Wow, that's
yep.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Congratulations.
Yep.
Awesome. Tell us about your business also.
Okay, well, I was working I was literally pulling my hair out. I was a mom. I have four children, and I was pulling my hair out. I was like, how do I make money in this business? You know, I didn't know what to do. I had no clue. And I, I started plugging into Danny and for at First Steps to Success and Creating a Dynasty, which you guys are going to want to go to, and went from my $100 in sales volume per month to $60,000 in sales volume per month in that year following Danny.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome. And you've been bringing people as well, right? You've been bringing your team here, obviously.
Yes.
What happens to them as they come through First Steps?
Yeah, their lives completely change. Their relationships with people are completely and dramatically shifted to where they understand people and they're able to meet their needs and help them in providing them a service and a product that they need.
Wow, that's awesome. So your incomes are climbing, your business is doing well, your income is tripling, you guys paid off some debt. Tell us about that.
Yeah. We paid off $120,000 worth of debt in the 3 years that we've been coming down. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and not only that, we have always been faithful. You know that's part of our DNA. And you know, during that time, we have seen all the things that happen at these events, where just the Lord just speak to Danny, and all of a sudden, people just start pouring in and pouring in and pouring in for the poor and all these things. And so, you know, even in the midst of that, we continue to be faithful, you know, blessing the poor, you know, doing different things like that, providing homes for Nicaraguan, you know, it's just so much things that really has brought fruit in our life, right, since plugging in. And of course, you know, yeah, I mean, there's so much more we can talk about, but of course, you know, with limited time.
That's awesome, though. So tell me, if you don't mind sharing a little bit about what's happened in your marriage since you started plugging in as well. With five kids now and businesses, I mean, tell us.
I'll
about
let
that.
The woman speak.
Well, we were pretty much living in a toxic marriage. We talked about getting a divorce on a regular basis, and we would go weeks without even talking to each other, living in the same home, not facing each other in the bed. We would go to sleep and just ignore each other, and since then, we completely, our marriage is not only flourishing, we divorce is not even in our vocabulary anymore. Like, we are, it's not an option. We don't even talk about it. We don't even think about it anymore. We're here, we're together forever. So, yeah.
Yeah, she's stuck with me.
That's awesome. Well, you guys are an amazing, amazing example of just plugging in, staying plugged. Isn't it weird you come to a business seminar and your marriage gets helped and all these other things happen and you keep coming back for seemingly the same event, but it's always different and all that stuff. Would you guys help me do the honors of welcoming our favorite millionaire, our coach, our mentor, and our trainer, Danny Johnson, back to the stage?
And I had no idea you guys were here. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, first of all, she is stunning. Like, how do you not just get completely distracted?
That's why we have five kids.
I get that. Not enough television. Wow.
No, not at all.
Wow. Your guys' story has so blessed me. Like, Raven, did we capture that by chance? I know we captured that, but Facebook?
It cut off the Wi-Fi.
That is so wonderful. I would love for you guys to tell your story live on Facebook. That would be amazing.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to have you get with Raven. You know what I'm about to do. We're going to get the room ready for Gems. So in that time, we can have you go live if she can get us on the internet right now.
Okay.
I'm just blown away from, like, you two being your hearts away from each other. That's, like, the best part for me, that, you know, contemplating divorce. I did that so many times in my journey in my marriage with Hans. So to see how God has healed you in
exactly.
A business seminar and healed that marriage and pulled the two of you guys closer together, you have five children. So that is absolutely phenomenal, the fact that you've been taking care of the poor. You guys have paid off how much debt?
Over $120,000.
And how long?
About three and a half years.
That's just like crazy. Huge amount of debt that you've paid off. Being promoted how many times in your job?
Two times and increasing
your salary?
Almost like tripling my salary during that time. Yep.
When other people are complaining about jobs, when other people are complaining about not getting raises in their job. You heard the message that if you want to raise, you got to raise your skill set.
Absolutely.
And you went back and you applied job domination in your job and have grown to a higher level of leadership, great level of influence, the place I believe you're called to in the marketplace. We're not supposed to be under. We are supposed to be over the head and not the tail. But we hear these things on Sunday, but nobody teaches us How? How are we supposed to go from the tail to the head? And you learned the how to here, but you applied it. There's so many people that learn things. Let's put it this way. When knowledge is not applied, your head is nothing but a dump truck. It's true.
So good.
Nothing but a dump truck. All you're doing is collecting trash that eventually has to be purged out if you don't use it. And they're a prime example of using everything that is taught, what's happened in the family, the peace that's in the home, you're grooming your kids for success. That's got to be the best thing. How do you feel about a mom knowing that you have a tool like grooming the next generation for success and you know, like, I'm teaching my kids what my kids really need in life? Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah. When I left my first event, I took two things out of the event. Number one was I'm not living in the 98% lifestyle anymore, and I completely embraced the 2%. And the second thing is we are going to leave a legacy of 2%ers in our home. And we completely, grooming the next generation, we embraced it. We've been seeing transformation. I'm going to just tell you an example with my daughter. My daughter is a sapphire. Mm-hmm. And
which means she's a real fun,
disorganized
kind of person. We're going to get there here in a minute.
Yeah. And just really being able to understand her, her personality, the way she thinks, it really has healed our relationship as mother and daughter. We used to argue all the time because I'm the opposite of her. But, and so that has completely changed our relationship as mother and daughter.
Could you imagine with not understanding your daughter and how she was made, not by you,
right,
but how she was designed by the great designer, how she was put together from the two of you. And we as parents, when we don't have the understanding of who our spouses and how they were made, when we don't have the understanding about how our children are made, we try to change their make, model, version, color, everything. We try to completely tamper and even destroy the very DNA that was put in them. Right. And so many parents do that. And they just try to make their kids, and this is not just the spouse, this isn't just the kids, this is also at work. This is the distributors, this is the sales reps, this is even the church, right? The pastor to the congregation and vice versa. Mm-hmm. See many congregations trying to change their pastor. Yep. I want you to be more like this. Or they're trying to change the worship team. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be so loud. You shouldn't be like that. Everyone trying to change each other, not understanding or embracing the design that is obviously in front of us. And it is an intelligent design that was put together for a purpose and not for his or hers or mine, for the individual.
Yeah.
For the individual. And so grooming the next generation for success along with the GEMS course just completely opens the eyes to go, oh, that's what you are. You're a tiger. You're supposed to be striped. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Versus, why do you have those stripes all over you? Right?
Yeah, sure.
You should be spotted, not striped. And that's what we have a tendency to do. We do that with people at work. We do that with people in our community. We do that with people in the home. So I am really like, oh gosh, I am like overwhelmed with gratitude for my God that you heard the message. And that's my prayer every time. Like, God, I can't make anyone hear. I can't make anyone apply. You're the only one that can make every one of our clients apply the information. You're the only one that can help them grip it and go for it and know that this is going to change every area of their life. So He answered my prayer with you, and I charge you now, do not lose that vision of raising a family of 2%ers. Do not lose that vision of, I am not going to end up in that 98%. I'm not going to raise my kids to be 98%ers. My call on this earth is to make sure we leave a legacy of 2% on this earth. Because if we don't, then who will? Who will, right? If we look at who the 2%ers are, so many of the elites, right, that have this generational wealth, how they did it, there's no reason why we can't. There's no reason why we can't. They like to leave all that information tied to themselves and keep it within the family. Well, then by golly, we're going to keep it into the family of all of us. We're going to build not only our families, but we're going to infiltrate into communities all over the place, grabbing those kids out of the 98% and grooming them for the kind of success that they're supposed to have. And them, have your kids held you accountable?
Yes.
Isn't that crazy? The kids grab onto this information faster than the adults do.
Yeah.
You know, when they go to the grocery store with you. Yeah, they do. Hey! And unfortunately, some of them use my name in that equation. I'm sorry. If any of them said that to you, I apologize right now. But nonetheless, I am like so blessed, so insanely blessed. I'd love to interview you guys on my show if that would be okay with you. We'd like to blast you all over the nation on radio and television, too, if you're good with that.
Yeah, I am.
Should be fine.
Actually, she called in one time.
No, I want your faces. I want the beautiful faces live on the show. That would be amazing. Raven, the same one that's going to put you on Facebook right now, is the same one. They'll connect with you guys and then get you guys booked for the next time I'm in the studio. So thank you. Give these guys a huge hand. What amazing accomplishment. Bye. Wow. That's a family vision, is it not? That's a purpose bigger than themselves, is it not? That's amazing. Whereas 98% of the population gives birth to 5 children and hopes for the best. That is purposed. That's a family that's living up to that 2%, following some simple instructions. Now, right now, I'm about to show you some very simple instructions that is going to completely alter everything in your mind concerning people. Now, yesterday afternoon, we talked about increasing what? Increasing your income. And remember, I showed you not 3. I promised you 3, but I gave you 4. 4 different things to do. To increase your income. Do you remember what number 1 was? No. You're talking, number 1 was what? Increase your people skills. If you increase your people skills, you will increase your income, okay? If you increase your people skills, your income is going to grow. Your income will follow 2 things, your personal development and your people skills. Your income's directly tied to your ability to motivate, recruit, lead people, solve problems with people, all right? How many of you need help in those categories? How many of you want to know how to motivate others? How many of you would like to learn how to solve problems with others instead of reacting to them? You actually will know exactly how to solve the conflict instead of running and hiding or freaking out on them. How many of you could use that skill set, okay? So I'm going to show you a few things this morning where you are going to increase your income. This is going to affect your bottom line. This is probably one of the main things that helped that young man that was on the stage get promoted at least 1 of the 2 times. No question. Job domination. How many of you own job domination? That's awesome. That means who does not own job domination? Okay. How many of you don't know what job domination is? Okay, job domination is the training system that he used to get promoted 2x and triple his income. Does anyone want to know how to triple their income? Okay, it's an 8-hour course. How many of you went to college? Did they teach you how to triple your income in the 4 years of college? How many of you went to high school? Okay. Was there a single class on teaching you how to triple your income in high school? Did your parents ever sit you down and teach you a class on tripling your income? So where the heck do you think you're going to learn how to do it? Don't be a dumb. Do you hear me? Don't be dumb. There is a training system that is available to teach you how to triple your income in what you're currently doing already. Does anyone have a problem with tripling their income with what they're already doing? How many of you would not have a problem if you tripled your income with what you're already doing? Okay. Awesome. Then you might want to pick up job domination. Well, Danny, I don't have a job. I'm not an employee. I own my own business. Well, the first part teaches you how to interview appropriately and recruit appropriately and the things to watch out for of who not to recruit. Recruiting the wrong people loses money in your business and loses time and effectiveness. The second part of job domination shows you exactly how to set your employees up on how they will succeed. So if we're teaching them how to succeed, you're actually learning how to show them how to succeed. And then if you're really smart and if you've done what a lot of employers have done, they just press play for their staff. They have time every week. Some of them do it every day where they take an hour of the eight and they have 1 hour of study time using job domination to train up their staff. What is that? Wise. You heard my 10-year-old niece. Yes, it's wise. So that's up to you. I mean, it's completely up to you if you want to stay in the 98% as a 98%er in your job, or if you want to stay a 98%er in your business. That's your call. Or you can learn the skills that that man just learned to triple his income. It's pretty exciting. So what I'm about to show you, are you going to get job domination? Good job. Go. That was smart. Anybody else going to go get up and get started now with getting job domination? Kaylee, you already have it. There's another one. Give her a hand. Smart. Anybody else going to step up into their future and go get a hold of job domination? You know, you can feel it inside your belly. She's like, yes. Go ahead. Go. It's right back there. He's like, oh, God. Yep. She's like, yes. Husband just gave her the card. Smart. There's another one right there. Give her a hand. Oh, there's a few more. Here they are. They're going. This is wise. These are the next stories for job domination. These are the next people with the result. Okay, there's a bunch more that are going. Give those people a hand. That's what you call 2% decision, by the way. Jackie and Carmen, you guys stay here so I can get the room together because I think they can handle what they got. Okay, is there anybody else? Last call. Oh, there's one, there's two, there's three, there's four, there's five, there's six, there's seven, there's eight. You know what this means? Okay, you guys need to go back there. So you know what this means? Do you know what this means? There's another one. Okay. You know what this means? Is that all of them will have the freshest skills and kick the rest of y'all's butts who are not studying job dom. That's really what that means. That's the reality right there. For those of you that have it, who has it already? Okay, that's awesome. Who doesn't have it? Yes, you do, Kaylee. Put your hand down. Look, it's so funny. They're like, not raising my hand. I'm not showing my... I already know who you are. I saw you the first time. You know who you are. So now you have to ask yourself, why am I being stubborn? Do I think I know how to do this already? Do I think I already know how to triple my income in my job? Okay, I got a question. How many of you don't know how to triple your income in your current profession? So then how long do you want to stay in not knowing? Who's in charge of learning? You're in charge of learning. Who's in charge of applying? You're in charge of applying. Well, Danny, I don't want... So basically what you're telling me is I don't want to triple my income in my job. That's what you just said. I don't... There you go. She wants to triple her income in her job. Okay? You just got a promotion from Job Dom. It's amazing. That's amazing. I love seeing people get promoted. I really do. Say what? Big increase in pay. Seriously. Okay, so I want you to tell everybody. You look amazing, by the way, girl.
Thank you.
Okay.
So, yeah, been coming 18 months and applying, listening, applying. And in July, the day before we left for Nicaragua, my executive said, we're going to promote you. So I was waiting. So I come back, we had a meeting, and he says, we're going to give you a review, taking you to lunch. I'm like, who takes you to lunch for a review? And the VP is going to be there. I'm like, okay, what's going on? So the short of it is, I got the promotion, 7.5% increase.
Wow.
My bonus went from 10% to 25%.
That's huge.
Yes. It's huge. And we will go, and it increases as we produce more than 100%, and we will on target this year to be more. So then it's on top of it. It goes on top of it.
Wow.
So I'll know the value in March.
Congratulations. That's a huge, so, yes. Huge increase.
Get it. Go get it. Stop thinking about it. Get up.
That's like 2.5. That's 2.5 times on a bonus.
I can't remember the last time I got an increase like that. I can't remember.
Wow.
They're just, you get a raise, but maybe 0.5% or 1%.
Right.
It's huge.
So a 7% raise, 7.5% raise, and a...
My bonus went from 10% to 25.
So that's 250%. 250% raise on your bonus and 7.5%
and
raise
on
your salary.
And I make a good income, so it's going to be significant.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Congratulations. Good job. Okay. I hope you hear my heart. My heart is that I want to see you succeed. My heart is I want you on this stage with a microphone in your mouth giving your story. Why? Because it propels other people to make decisions, to take control over their life, and to improve their finances, and to improve their future. This, hello, who doesn't get paid for doing this? I don't get paid for doing this. So if this was about me making money off of you buying job domination, if that really was the core of why we're talking about this, I would be making all the profits now, wouldn't I? But we're not. How many orphans were fed last year, Chad Ketcher? 14,000. Pull up that page. 14,000 orphans. Did you update the page on water and all that stuff? Did you say yes, ma'am? Awesome. What did you say? It's a corset. Oh, I'm so sorry. 59,000 orphans rescued. 3,194 kids out of the sex trade. 672,000 people brought food and water. Okay, this is not totally updated. Because the 720 homes, forget it, you don't have the current numbers on that one. So we're right at around 1,000 homes. Anyway, so actually that doesn't include Haiti. That's okay, we have some more updating to do. So when you purchase job domination, when you purchase anything, that is what's being done. Do you understand? So... I'm not saying that's how it is at other training seminars you go to. Are you listening to me? I'm not saying that's how other trainers are. Largely, it probably isn't. I don't know what they do with their money, but I'm telling you what we do with ours.
Yes.
Right? So this is a win-win situation. You triple your income, and orphans are getting fed. Your family benefits? What will you do with more? What will you do with 250% more on your bonus? What would you do with a 7.5% increase in your pay? And you already make a really good salary. What? Tell me, what will you do with the money? Okay, now look, what this is a sign of is, do you have a financial vision? Do you have a financial vision? If you don't have a financial vision, it makes absolutely no sense to invest in yourself. Wow. If your financial vision is the same as it's been, and that is the more you make, the further in debt you go. If your financial vision is to be stuck financially and end up at 65 dead or dead broke, well, then it doesn't make sense to make a purchase to invest into your training, into your skill development. It doesn't make sense to do that. But when you have a financial vision and you want to provide better for your family, you want to have a legacy that you leave behind financially, that you want to become debt-free, that you want to be risen up high inside of your company, and be more influential, that you desire to hit financial independence. You will never hit financial independence with what you currently know. How do we know that? Because you would already be financially independent with what you know. So what you know how to do is what you've done. The only way to cross over to a different place is to learn a new skill. To learn a new skill. And how many of you have discovered that so far from yesterday alone, you learned some simple things that you know you can apply? And I want to know who has already applied some of those simple things. On some of the breaks, right? You've made some phone calls. You already applied some of it. And it's simple to apply. Very, very simple. It's a simple little recipe. And that's exactly what every single training course that we have is. Simple, very commonsensical. Some of it you will go, why didn't I think of that? That is like so easy. How did I not make that up on my own? Why? We live in a complicated world. You've been a dump truck for most of your lives. Collecting information? That's what we were taught to do in school, is it not? What was the style of teaching that is in our country right now? What is it? Overload us with a bunch of information over and over again, the same information, then just regurgitate. It's never about learning something. It's about regurgitating of information. Regurgitation of information does not result in anything. So the places actually where you had to apply, it was actually kindergarten, first, second, third. Actually, when did math stop changing? Think about it. Well, like by the fifth grade, you knew what? All multiplication, division, right? Sixth grade, they started pre-algebra. Pretty much by then, fractions, pretty much by then, you learned that's where application was happening. But outside of that, my kids, when I was homeschooling, I couldn't believe that how many times we had to teach the same thing over and like, didn't we teach this last year? Just a little deeper, just a little deeper. And most of it is, most of everything outside of math is, fill it up, regurgitate it. Forget about it after you're done throwing it up. After you're done taking the test, you forget about the information. That's not what this style of training is. This is, take the skill, apply the skill. Take the skill, apply the skill. Now fine-tune that skill, fine-tune that skill. How you master something is through fine-tuning. Testing your results, fine-tuning it. Saying focus, test, 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 test the results, not test the information. We know the information works. It's about testing results. So it's your call. Now, and the reason why I'm challenging you here is that yesterday you said you wanted to become financially independent. That's what you said. I didn't tell you that. You said you want financial independence. You said you were willing to learn. You said you were willing to apply. So I'm holding your butt to the fire right now saying, oh, really? Because 98% can say, I want, I want, I want all day long. Whether or not they take the step of action is a whole nother story. And then after action, then it's application. And application produces the result. So I don't know if you remember, but yesterday we were talking about ways to increase your income. Right? So one was people skills, increasing your people skills. What was number two? Increase your what? Your value by increasing your what? Skill. That's the thing we're talking about right now. This is not Disneyland, friends. And this is not college where you get to go receive a bunch of information that you're going to forget. That couple you just saw on the stage applied information, utilized new skill sets. They developed their skills by the information in which they learned. That's how come they got the result. So as you increase skill, you get a result. Does that make sense? And that's what you're after. You see, the difference between 98 and 2% of the population is really simple. 98% of the population is a time for money economy. 2% of the population is a results for money economy. So how do you get a raise? You produce more results. That's what you got to do. You focus on the results. So many people, gosh, and it blows my mind. Our habits in our nation today, it's crazy to me, cares more about just producing information. It's what I call management mode. Instead of actually getting something done. getting something done. The customer is paying for a result. They want the result of the product or service in which you are marketing. They could care less about all your freaking information that you're excited about. We saw that demonstration with Dave on the stage where I was giving him all the information about what I loved about my products, right? But in the first example, he's willing to give me his name and phone number. I gave him no information at all. None. He knew nothing. So people want a result. So how did I get his name and phone number? By the way, I used a script that's inside the script book on page 38. That's a simple little paragraph. And it's a paragraph to say, I was actually selling him the result he wanted. The result he wanted. He said he wanted what? Wanted to work year round. Wanted to be in a profession or find a way where he can fill in the times where he is not working in the work that he loves to do. He loves 30, obviously you don't spend 30 years doing something that you don't like or that you don't have a benefit from. So as a carpenter for 30 years, but the part he doesn't like is his seasonal work. So I led him with what his need was, what he desired. So that's exactly what every customer is looking for. Every customer is looking for the result. They're not looking for your knowledge. They're not looking for your opinion about anything. They're looking for the result. And the more that you can focus on the result and sell the results, that's when you're going to have buy-in with the public and with each and every person that you're actually talking to. The more you focus on selling results, the more you focus on producing results yourself, that makes you much more valuable in the marketplace. There's very few, sadly, there's very few that actually, in every company, that actually produce results. People like to do a lot of busy work to make themselves feel like they are accomplishing something. But I can tell you the employer is going freaking nuts. Going nuts. Results, write it down. Huge on your paper. How good am I at producing results? Ask yourself that question. How good am I at producing results? You see, people love to come up with excuses as to why they're not producing results. Well, I meant to make my bed today, but, you know, I just got busy. There's a prime example. Well, yeah, I meant to have dinner ready by the time my husband got home, but, you know, things just got out of... No, you actually didn't mean to do anything. You meant to do the other thing you did. The fact is that you didn't care to do the thing that you committed to. Otherwise, the dinner would be done. Does that make sense? So it's about what result are you producing every day? What commitment to results have you made and what have you produced every single day? That's the place that you need to be judging yourself on, is on your results, on your fruit. Not on how you feel about, oh, I made this decision, I did this. No. What's the result of what you're doing every single day? And everything that we produce is going to push you towards the result, which then does what? Makes you more valuable. 250% increase on a bonus is massive. 7.5% on a raise is massive. A guy tripling his income is massive. Massive. You know what I like about him tripling his income? Is that he doesn't have to worry about running that company. He gets to go home every night and leave it. He gets to leave that job every night and go be with his family. He's not carrying the weight of all the pressure that can come with a business, with a staff, with tax decisions, with planning for the next year. He doesn't have to do any of that stuff. It is like, bam, I'm giving you my 110% every day. I'm collecting my check and I'm going home to my family to groom my next generation for that 2%. That's powerful. That's a powerful equation for his life. Okay, so we're going to work on helping you get more results in the area of working with other people. We're going to work on helping you to learn how to motivate people. You're going to learn how to disarm contention that happens between differences in personalities at home and at the office. You're going to become more valuable at work and at home by simply the understanding and the application of what you're about to learn. This is going to affect your bottom line, your finances. This will affect your marriage. This will affect your parents. parenting style. This will affect you motivating the people that you work with every single day. This will also affect your ability to get greater deals. This will also affect people actually giving you even better treatment because you will be able to understand and communicate with them in such a way that they feel so honored that you stand out of the crowd far more than the other 10 customers, far more than the last 100 customers. For some reason, they want to do something a little extra special for you because of the high level of honor that you're able to lead with in your communication style. Could any of you use that which I just finished talking about? Okay, so these are my promises to you. You will learn how to motivate those that are around you. That's my first promise of what we're going to talk about this morning. Number two, you're going to learn to discover who you are, what your strengths are, so you can work inside of your strengths. Number three, you're going to learn what to do with your weaknesses. Instead of beating yourself up with your weaknesses, you're going to learn what to do with them, okay? So these are the three things that we're going to go through this morning. How many of you can use those three things? How many of you are looking forward to less stress in communication with people? Okay, that's going to be a side bonus out of everything you're about to learn. You need to pull out a piece of paper and pen, please. Clean slate. I want you to draw a line from the top of the page to the bottom and side to side. Top to bottom. Side to side. Okay. How many of you have ever taken a personality test before? Okay. Me too. About 20-something years ago, 28 years ago, took a personality test. Totally confused me. It had me pick one word out of four to describe myself. Well, as basically a high school dropout who went back and finished my last four classes, I hate to tell you, with cheating, but that's the truth. I was terrible in school. I was absolutely terrible. I was confused majority of the time, and I felt like a failure. So what happened was I took this test, four words. I didn't understand most of the words that I had to pick. You know, and this is back in a time where, you know, I didn't have three dictionaries on my cell phone. You know, so I'm sitting in a room, and I'm looking at these four words. I have to pick one. I didn't know, and in fact, many of the cases, I didn't know what all four meant. So it was like, So I know I took the test wrong. But here's what came out of that test, and this was powerful. I had learned from the very first millionaire that I had ever studied from to study people. Learn more about people than you do your product, and you'll be unusually successful. He said, study people. So grateful for that. So what I learned in that personality test was there's four different types of people. That was the only thing I got out of that test. There's four different types. Wow, not everyone's like me. And I still didn't know who I was after taking that personality test. But it was a really profound thing. Like, oh, pretty much the whole population fits in one of four categories. So I began to look for the differences that were inside of people. I began to look with my eyes and hearing with my ears how people talked and how there was, wow, okay, that's like so-and-so. Oh, wow, that's like so-and-so and so-and-so and so. And found what motivated them simply by form. Okay, what we taught you yesterday, family, occupation, recreation, using form and hearing people talk and hearing what motivated them, hearing what mattered to them in their life, these four categories started to come up into my head. And I started to talk to those people based on what mattered to them and started to use this understanding to motivate people. So I'm about to show you what that is. This section is called GEMS. This is actually created right here. Right here at First Step Success, GEMS with Burrs, 26 and a half years ago. We are the writers of that content. Many of you have seen it floating around on Facebook, other people trying to claim that they created GEMS. This is the copyrighted, hello, right here, trademarked. You're looking at the GEMS creator right here. Everybody else that has stolen it, and people will reap what they sow, including getting a cease and desist letter. And if you don't, you're going to pay us for whatever you are doing with our content because that is illegal. So nice to meet you. You're hearing the full real story of GEMS. So there's four different GEMS. If you've taken a personality test, it'll be pretty simple for you to figure out which category you go into. You have a primary GEM and you have a secondary GEM. OK, okay? The primary one is the one that we're looking for this morning, all right? So when I'm just going to give basic 1 to 2 word phrase for each one of these gems. I want you to put an X in the box that you feel is you most of the time. We all have all 4 gems inside of us. All of us do. So with all 4, some of us have like a really strong first one. That's the one we are walking and talking and living and thinking in most of the time. And then there's a secondary that just some of the time might be like, you know, at home on a Sunday. Okay. Others of us have like more of each. Do you know what I mean? Like more balance of each. But again, you still have a primary gem, and that's the one that we're looking for. The main motivator that is in you, that drives you out of bed every day, that is the thing that pushes you ahead, how you make decisions, all that stuff. So if you get confused, which is usually the sapphires and the pearls, if you get confused, that's okay. By the time you do this a few times, and if you want to go deeper with it, there's a GEMS course, a training course to really get deeper in discovery of all that you are and how you should operate and who the people are that are around you. Okay, so the first gem we're going to talk about is a sapphire. And that's them, okay? And these people are motivated by fun. The second gem is a pearl. And a pearl is someone who is motivated by serving. Number 3 is an emerald, which is our opposite of a sapphire. And that is someone who is motivated by facts and figures. Everything's black or white. There is no gray area. And then opposite the pearl is a ruby. And a ruby is motivated by a challenge. They thrive on a challenge. They see a challenge, they're going to attack it. Even if it's not something they want to do. There's a challenge, I'm going to do it. Okay, so put an X in the box of the one that you feel right now in this moment that you are. Okay, and like I said, if you're confused, there's a good chance you're a pearl or a sapphire. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. Okay, and or you're overanalyzing some things. Don't overanalyze. If you're overanalyzing, there's a good chance you're an emerald. And if you're wanting the perfect answer, good chance you're an emerald. Okay, so just put an X in the emerald box if you're wanting everything to be perfect and you want some more information first before you make a decision. That goes right here. Okay, that goes right the heck here. All right, now, here's how we're going to do this. And I need the help of my grads keeping yourselves quiet. And grads, I want you to pretend you're going through this the very first time. Please treat this as though it's your very first time. What happens when you've gotten information a lot is that you can start to get numb to it. So you literally have to position your mind to be fresh and to go, okay, this is the first time I'm hearing this, and you want to position yourself to learn. So up here is the stage, and that's basically where our sapphires are going to go. What am I saying? What I'm saying is we're going to move this room to 4 different quadrants, and we're each going to sit in our primary gem, all right? So the sapphires are actually going to be up here on stage, all right? Second is our pearl section is going to be on this wing, this right wing over here. Can you raise your hands? Okay, the right wing is going to be the pearls. The left wing, raise your hands, please, over there. That is going to be the ruby section. In the back, perfectly organized with the rows intact, is going to be our emeralds. Okay. Now, let me give us some guidelines on how we can work together to be able to make this happen. So, sapphires, who we're going to move to the stage, pearls, who we're going to, let me do that now, in fact, pearl and ruby section, what I would like for you guys to do, can the very edge of each one of those sections raise your hand? The very edge. Okay, you guys are going to be the last row. The room is going to face each other. Each gem is going to face each other because this is a visual exercise. You're going to get to know and watch people's body language. So you guys over there on that ruby section, you're going to take your chair, you're going to move it to the wall, or at least close to the wall, and you guys are going to create rows just by simply turning your chairs just a little bit so that everyone's facing the center of the room. All I want you to do is move the chairs now. And listen, can we do it in silence? Can you guys do it in silence? First thing is, look around your chair right now, please. Look all around you and grab all your junk. Okay, grab all your junk. You're not camping here at First Steps to Success. And this works best if everyone's quiet. So I don't have to speak over or tell you to be quiet like we're a classroom of kindergartners. Okay, sapphires, raise your hand wherever you're at, please. I need to see where, that's a lot of them. That's a whole heck of a lot of sapphires. So what we're going to do is this group, all the way forward, take these chairs and put them on the stage, please. And we're going to prepare this stage for the sapphires. Again, no talking. We're just moving. Everyone else, just stay put. Stay right where you're at. Don't move anything. Sapphires, you're not moving to your place right now. All we're doing is moving chairs. So the ruby section, pearl section, please get those chairs set up. You don't know what I'm talking about? You're just cheering. Well, that pretty much explains them. If someone's cheering, they're all cheering for sure. Hi, guys. You know where we're at, right? Emeralds, rubies, pearls, sapphires. Okay. All right. Well, friends, whenever, how many of you, this is your very first GEMS training? Okay. I'm so excited for you. Let me see the hands again. Your very first GEMS training. Okay. Awesome. Super, super excited for you. Let's get started. Okay. You have a twin. What is your name? Nikki. There is a woman in London that looks a lot like you. Linda Potgieter. She's gorgeous. You should look her up. She's absolutely stunning. She is absolutely stunning. She's like a queen. Anyway, anytime that there is a project that needs to get started, each gem responds differently. The rubies are usually the ones that want to start the project first. So if there's a challenge that's put out or there's something that needs to get done, these are the people that they want to organize everybody, they get everything done right away, and that's a great level of leadership. They were born to lead like that. However, it's about a seventh grade level of leadership. And you're here at First Steps to Success to go a higher level of leadership, right? How many of you want to go to a higher level of leadership? So in developing yourself in a higher level of leadership, the highest form of leadership is raising up other leaders who surpass you. So, in order to raise up other leaders who surpass you, you have to develop something called patience. We have these two gentlemen are growling right now. Yes, patience, because other people have to have the chance to lead. And, you know, when you were first learning to lead, you flopped around a lot. You didn't want anyone to see it. How many of you flopped around a lot? You don't want anyone to see it, but we all flop around a lot, right? Yes, but we have to be patient when the new ones are flopping around, and we want to give them the chance to learn how to lead. So therefore, he who must be first must first be. Can you just do this with me? Last. So therefore, you're last. Emeralds don't care where we start. They could care less where we start. They just want me to start in a timely and efficient fashion. The pearls also don't care where I start, as long as I don't start with them. They hate being first. Did you hear that? They hate being first. That leaves our... Ta-da! That leaves our sapphires. As you can tell, they're very enthusiastic. And they love to make a lot of noise. Everything they do is noisy and loud. Everything. Their laugh is loud. Their clothing is loud. They tap on tables. They tap their feet. Okay? They are constantly moving. I don't know if you can see that right here, right now, but they're all moving. Whereas if you look at the opposite gem, which is the emerald, are any of them alive? Because they are still. Can you see how still they are? It's like militant, man. She can't handle. Come out of here. Okay. So these people are energetic. They're very enthusiastic. That's the part of the Godhead that they represent. Creative, like super creative. They are innovators. They think outside of the so-called box, whatever the box is, whoever created. There is no box. Look at her. There is no box, Danny. I don't know what box you're talking about. There is no box. Okay. No. Is this your first time? No. Okay, so you know you're going to get slapped for that statement. But you don't care because sapphires love getting in trouble. And how do we know that they love getting in trouble? Because they're always in trouble. I need to be careful with that statement. Okay. Trouble with a purpose would be wise. Okay, that would be super wise. These people are very inspirational. They love stories. They love to tell stories. How you generally can spot a sapphire, their clothing, and today their hair largely gives them away. Boom! We have hot pink hair over here. Anybody else with some hot colors on their head? Okay, we got a shaved head. These are the trendsetters in fashion and in style. That's what they are. They don't follow somebody else's style. They create their own style. They don't care really what it looks like to anybody else. They get dressed for themselves. They fit themselves for themselves. They're not trying to please someone else with their dress. And by the way, even though so many have judged them as you're just dressing to get attention, no, they're expressing who they are. Yeah. They're expressing their design. They're expressing their creativity. They're expressing their vulnerability, and they're also expressing their ability not give a rip what anyone thinks about what they're wearing, yeah. Which is awesome. They have their own style. They got their own way of living. They got their own way of talking. And therefore, that's why they're trendsetters. That's who sets trends, are people who are innovators, people who are creative, people that don't try to live up to somebody else's standards, but they do their own thing, which is really, really awesome and true to themselves. They're great promoters. They're awesome at promoting. Also on clothing, I mean, you're going to see a lot of bling bling, like this little girl right here wearing her sapphire self. Come here, baby. I just want to show you this. This is amazing. Just check out this sapphire outfit. Okay, that. Do you see that, everybody? Can you all see that? We got silver sparkles with a leopard. Is that leopard? Cheetah. Leopard, cheetah. Okay, we got some brown shoes with some fringe. We got a pink tulle skirt. We got lots of accessories here, okay, because one necklace is not enough. Okay, you got a sparkly headband. Now, many of you are saying, well, that's just because she's a little girl. No, this will be it. And when, wait, let me show you. Come on, Mama, stand up. Really? Does it change? Does it change? We got pink in our hair. We've got these. Oh, wow. We have skulls with long hair. The earrings are skulls with long hair. Hello? How old are you again?
82.
82 years old. Okay. So the expression of themselves does not, they don't grow out of it. Are you hearing me? This is the way they were designed. You can go sit down, gorgeous. This is the way they were designed. This is how they were put together in their mother's womb on purpose by the great designer. No one has a right to try to change them. are you doing? It's good to see you, friend. That guy over there with that pale skin did you in. Sorry to tell you. Sorry to lay it down like that. Sorry to lay it down like that. But he stole the show right there. He represented them sapphires real well. Don't even try. Don't even try. Don't even try. He represented. Okay, now listen carefully. I know emeralds. Look at you. Take a deep breath. It's called the cleansing breath. You learned this in your yoga class. Or through therapy. You gotta take a deep breath. You need to have a Quaalude or a Valium right about now. I understand. Have a glass of wine. You need something to calm your heart down. Now, isn't this so very interesting? I did not cue Chad at all. I did not ask Chad to put on music so our sapphires could show us how they like to dance. I said no one has a right. The last thing I said was no one has a right to change their design, is what I said. The music went on, and they just couldn't help themselves. Why? Because this is how they were knitted together in their mother's womb. This is how they were made on purpose. They bring laughter. They bring joy. These are the optimists, the forever optimists in the room. Their spiritual gift, which is outlined in the best success book ever written, is the gift of encouragement. The gift of encouragement. The gift of motivation. You'll find that in Romans and also in 1 Corinthians. You'll find it actually totally like pulled from that place in spirit-driven success. There's an audio training for it, and there's a book that goes with it. How many of you own that already? Okay. Spirit-driven success is really, really powerful. Anyway, so in spirit-driven success, I talk about what your spiritual gifts are. Sapphires, clearly, you encourage people. You've been hearing my niece, okay, my niece all throughout the weekend. You're going to do great, Auntie. Right? She tells me that every time she comes. Man, it means so much, even from a 10-year-old. You're going to do great. That is such a powerful thing to say to somebody. Or you're doing an awesome job. That helps to fuel people, no matter what their personality is. It helps to fuel them. And that's your jobs. Your jobs are to encourage people. And through encouragement, motivation comes. Inspiration comes. Because you love to tell stories. Those also motivate people. One of the greatest closes that I ever learned was telling stories. Of simply saying, I don't know all the information or the answer to that, but all I know is, bam, and telling a story. It's the most powerful close I ever learned 26 and a half years ago. So, use that spiritual gift. I know that people, thank you, Chad. I know that people throughout your entire life has tried to change you. In fact, I think you're the personality that people have tried to change more than any other personality, especially in our culture. I would say also probably in Germany. I'm serious. Our school system was created by emeralds for emeralds. Okay, they figured out how in the world are we going to get kids that could care less about math and science to show up. They created sports for those guys over there and somewhat for these guys. These guys are great team players, amazing team players. Man, what a gift they are to our society. What a gift they are to family. What a gift they are to businesses. Because business is team, family is team, and a lot of people suck at being team players, but you guys do it naturally, which is why I'm telling you this. It's a natural gift that came from your creator. You can't expect everyone else to have your gift, and you can't judge other people that are not team players because you didn't learn to become a team player. The rest of the room has to learn how to be a team player. You were born a team player. So, and you can be motivated to do anything, including be more organized. You can be motivated to be more organized. You clearly can. And how? Is Roman in the room? Romeo, Rome, Romando. He has like 10 million nicknames. Okay, I'm going to bring him up here to talk to you guys if he's not on a break. Say what? You carry a calendar now. He'll be here in a sec. Okay. So many of you guys are the kids that got in trouble a lot in school. How many of you did get in trouble when you were in school? Okay. Sent to the principal's office, right? But still get in trouble. Okay. How many times a week? Three times a week. Okay. So okay. But how many of you made friends with the principal? Okay. And here's why. They make friends with everybody. They make friends with people at the gas station, at the supermarket. They know everybody. Wherever it is that they go, they know no strangers. They make friends with everyone naturally. Again, this is a natural gift. Now, because people is part of your gift, I will tell you this. Whatever it is that you think you're good at, you tend not to master. And what we're talking about with the 2% is a mastery of skill set. Do you understand? So don't just get by on your natural gifting. Your natural gifting will never take you to a gold medal. Your natural gifting will keep you in the 98%. You might be happier than most people. You might have more fun, no question. Your fun is part of your DNA, and if you're not having fun. If you're not having fun, you're not being you. If you're not having fun, you're not being you. You can't change that part of you. Don't kill that part of you. Just because you grow up doesn't mean that you can't have fun. Just because you want to get promoted doesn't mean that you can't have fun. You absolutely always need to have an outlet of fun. If life becomes too serious for sapphires, they're dying. So there has to be a fun outlet for them. There's got to be fun hobbies, and there has to be an outlet for them even within the company. We have fun police in our office, okay? We do. We have fun police in our office on purpose, and I have to tell you, there's several little things that have started in our office, and I didn't know this was happening because this last 3 years, I've been in my office an average of 5 hours a month, okay? I work really, really part-time. So I came in for just to get something. I was heading to my other office, which is a different office in the same similar complex. And the lights were off in this hallway that you leave our office. The lights are off. There was music. There was steam and a light. And in the hall was a line of our staff dancing to some really loud music. Say what? It's the double duck dance off. Now we've got a sweet little sapphire in our office that when she can feel the tension, she says, "We just gotta dance it off. We just gotta dance it off. It's time to dance it off." They feel the stress. No, that's not Raven actually. It's Alana. Yeah. The tension that they start to feel, and then I guess there's ways that they earn time to dance? How was this dance thing going on in the office when I was walking by? It was really funny. Someone said, Jen wasn't there, but someone sent Jen a text like, "Danny just showed up and saw all of us. Danny, I hope we have jobs." What's the rules for the dance off? No, but how often do you do this dance off? Once a week. Once a week, there's a dance-off. How many songs? Right. So if there's something really stressful going on in the office, then they have to dance it out. They turn on the music, they turn it up, they start dancing, they get back to work. Why? Because it releases endorphins. It makes work fun. Smiling, all that stuff, because you can get so intense on your tasks and duties that you forget who you are and you forget to have fun. And everyone benefits from everyone having fun. Everyone benefits from that. You can't help even the emeralds look and laugh. Like, do they have any idea how ridiculous they look? Don't they know there's things that we got to get done? Yes, and the thing that's got to get done is having some dance. That thing has to happen. Why? Because not everyone is an emerald. That's why. And it's about serving the team. Okay? So basically, the way you guys like to sell is, trust me, it works. Trust me, it works. You guys are risk takers, which is awesome. You're risk takers. You're very spontaneous. So even when you were sent to the principal's office, you made a friend with the principal's office. You went to detention. You actually found a way to have some fun in detention. The saddest part about what our school system has done is we have drugged the sapphires in our culture. We have drugged the sapphires, and we've also sold that drug all over the world. It's called Ritalin. And it's because the poor teachers get into the teaching profession because they want to groom the next generation for success. They believe in kids. They want to help kids. But they are not given the tools that are necessary to understand who is actually in their classroom and how to motivate them. Roman was on his way. There's my handsome son. So what I did with each one of the teachers when my kids were in school, I didn't homeschool all five every year. I had a couple of them at home, a couple of them in school. And then 2 years, I had everyone in school. That was amazing. I cried my first day home, like, the house is silent. So I would meet with the teachers and I would tell them who each one of my kids were, right? So especially Roman. Roman was born a sapphire. Here's how you know. They come out screaming and they don't stop, okay? They just scream. Everything is screaming, right? They talk in their sleep. The minute a sapphire wakes up, they are bing. Okay, and it's, there's no periods, there's no commas, there's no semicolon, there's no paragraph breaks. It's, and you're like, Mom, can I tell you a story? Yeah, sure. There's 10 stories inside of that story. It just keeps going, right? It just keeps going. Okay, so what would happen was that those kids, sapphire kids, get in trouble. So I would meet with the teacher, especially Roman's teacher, and say, hey, I would like to help you understand my son a little better. And you understanding him, I promise you, will be able to motivate the entire class. Would you like to have your class getting their schoolwork done early ever? And would you like to have more order in your classroom, especially if I'm talking to an emerald? That's what I'm saying. And usually it was an emerald. Yes, I would love that. Okay, great. Now, Roman is a personality where he's a great team player. And he's motivated by recognition. And if you pull him aside and say, Roman, I need your help. Is there any way you can help me? Because you're so good at working with everybody in the class. And you're so good about getting everyone excited. And you're so good with leading everybody that I'm wondering if you can help me out. Would you mind getting in front of the class and saying, hey, guys, Mrs. Smith said we can go out to recess 10 minutes early if we finish our work early. So, dude, let's do this, man. We're going to get the whole playground to ourselves. 10 extra minutes, man. So all we're going to do. All right, everybody now, focus. Class breaks out early. Okay. I want to have him tell you a quick story. As a 12-year-old, he happened to have been failing in three of his easiest classes. The three classes that my son Roman always did without ever having to think and got 100%. Not an A, 100%. Bible, history, and English. Those were his easiest classes. And that's generally what Sapphire's easy classes are, right? So he now is failing, getting an F in all three of the easy classes, and he's getting an A in math. This is the kid, and by the way, Sapphires, when you had your math homework, how many of you procrastinated on your math homework? How many of you did not start with problem number one? How many of you started like problem 14, up to number 7, down to 31? How many of you did this? Do you see this? Now check it out. All of you parents tried to get them to go in order. If you're an emerald parent and you had a sapphire child, you tried to force them to think the way you think. But the great designer did not make them to think the way that you think. He designed them to start with question number 7. They eventually get it all done, but they create this cool little picture with each one of those programs. These are the doodlers, right? So here's Roman. He's 12 years old. He's getting an A in math, and he's getting Fs in English, history, and Bible, where he normally gets 100%. I pick him up from school, and all three boys are in the back, and he just randomly shoots out of his mouth, I get it. I got this. I got this. I'm like, Roman, you got what? I'm looking in the rearview mirror. You got what? I got it. I got it. I got this. I'm like, what do you got? Mrs. S is an emerald. And that is why I'm failing in all three of these classes. I'm like, by the way, here's another closing question. Tell me more about that. That's a closing question. Tell me more about that. How you get people to continue to sell themselves on a concept or an idea that they have is you simply say, tell me more about that. That, by the way, is in the script book on page 22. It's the second closing question. First being, what did you like about what you saw? Second one being, tell me more about that. That's how you get somebody to own the thoughts that are coming through their head and to make decisions. Tell me more about why you want to get out of debt. Tell me more about why you want this promotion. Okay? So I say, Roman, tell me more about that. And you go ahead and take it away, handsome.
So I basically realized
he's getting married in 5 days.
So I basically realized my English teacher was an emerald. And I was still acting like a sapphire in her class, which we all understand is totally different when it comes to, it looks like, you know, like jumping over tables, just not being quiet, not sitting still, the whole moving all the time, tapping your feet all the time, pencil on the table, just not being, honestly, not, just not being respectful and not respecting her, Jim, and just expecting her to accommodate my personality, which I guess it makes sense. I was pretty young, and I guess I thought that that's the way it was supposed to be, is everybody was supposed to accommodate my personality, but it's much better when you can accommodate to other people's. And then there was growth in there, which was really awesome. Started working on my emerald. Only took about, two quarters or something. Got the Fs to As. Kept my As in my math class. My math teacher was a full-on sapphire, so that helped. And I was able to maintain that. But anyway, I mean, it was really, I guess ultimately what I realized is just I've heard the saying before is if nothing changes, nothing changes. And, you know, you kind of expect, hey, if I don't change, then my life's going to end up going well. Or my grades will change if I don't do anything. But no, I mean, you have to change in order to have change. And so, yeah, did that. Worked out pretty well. Got A's by the end of the year.
No, you got A's by the end of the quarter.
Okay, end of the quarter.
He changed his grades within the quarter. His grades went from an F to an A within the quarter. Sapphire math teacher. Right. Yeah. Sapphire math teacher. Now check this out. The sapphire math teacher changed his life. Big time. And why? This young man now does his brother's math in his head. Roman is the best in math in our family today. And why? The math teacher presented math in a sapphire way. Isn't that crazy? So, Roman, what is your profession today?
I'm a data analysis in IT.
He worked on understanding emeralds, which his mother's one, by the way. He worked on understanding emeralds. He accommodated the emerald teacher. How? What did you do to start speaking her language?
It was a lot less dude being thrown around, and it was more respectful. we had to write a lot of papers in this class, and I stopped handwriting them because I know I'm the only one who can read my handwriting. I guess I didn't think about it, so I started typing them. Make sure my spelling was correct, which I never really cared about prior to, but it affected my grades, so I probably should have. But yeah, doing that, showing up to class on time, trying to lead by example by being respectful and honoring her, and just honoring the gem, making sure that I was communicating on her in the way that I was treating her, and just my conduct overall in the class.
A 12-year-old with that kind of maturity. A 12-year-old not expecting a 53-year-old to change. That's profound. That, by the way, is grooming the next generation for success. That he knows if anything's going to change in his grades, it's going to be up to him. And being a sapphire, innovation, inspiration. Okay, I got this. She's an emerald. I can learn how to speak that language. I can learn how to motivate my teacher to give me A's. And that's exactly what he did at 12. And yet we have adults that refuse to honor their spouse who's an opposite gem. Refuses to change how they see their boss, their coworkers, their family, but just wants everyone to change. So Roman set the first example at 12 years old with that kind of maturity, which is clearly profound to me. So if a 12-year-old can make the decision to learn gems, then so can every person in this room. Every one of us can do that. So guess what happened to him also? This is amazing. So he worked on understanding the emerald, and what happened to you?
So I guess I got, I don't know where the motivation came, but I was like, I'm gonna do emerald. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to do great. And then all of a sudden, it was like, by the end of that year, my ruby just like fired up inside me. And now I became more of a ruby than my older brother, really, who was like the ruby. And his rubiness intimidated me, and now it's totally switched, and it's really funny.
But he is more ruby now than he is sapphire. Yep. He is.
It's okay. I'm better.
His brother. I'm better than my brother. It's okay. That's his ruby brother. Wasn't his ruby brother is a ruby sapphire. His ruby brother is more sapphire now than ruby, by far, by far. Yeah, they switched. It's really an awesome thing. So anyway, Roman, thanks so much for coming out to
Absolutely.
Tell your story.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. Love you. Love you, love you, love you. All right. So our sapphires, we got to move on. I have to go over to the pearls. I don't know if it was like 20 minutes ago that bell went off for me. That was my time to get out of here. Yeah. So I'll be back. Again. All right, so this is our pearls. Let's light our lighters. We gotta go hang out at the campfire, guys. Yes. Look at that. Look at how unified we moved together so quickly. Isn't that amazing? We love to be unified. As long as it's not stressful. We can't handle stress. Okay, so our pearls, very, very similar to our sapphires. They enjoy people just like sapphires do. And they have a lot of long-term relationships just like the sapphires do. How many of you have friends that you've had since kindergarten or even preschool, like people that you've known for a really, really long time? You have a great ability in maintaining relationships. The sapphires do as well, which means they have large centers of influence. That should be ringing a bell for business in here. They have large center of influence. So as you can tap into a sapphire and a pearl and you learn how to motivate these people, you have access to a lot of people, lots and lots of people. So, and remember, I was telling you yesterday, the list of resources is more valuable than what? Capital. It's more valuable than capital, and capital is what? Cash. Okay? So they value people very, very highly. They are, clothing-wise, they tend to wear that which is comfortable, breathable. The women tend to not wear a lot of striking makeup. You won't see some bright, you know, inch-long pink fingernails on the ladies. They're going to be more natural tones. The colors in which they wear on their body typically is going to be more natural tone. Even their hair, many of the pearls that when they start to go gray, they just let that happen. They just let those things. And why? Because we don't want chemicals on our head. And it really largely depends on if your secondary is a sapphire. If you're a pearl sapphire, you're going to color your hair. But if you are a pearl emerald, chances are you're not going to color your hair. And why? Because the harmful chemicals on multiple different fronts. Number one, the pores on your head are some of the largest pores. It's right next to your brain. This could cause cancer. This would be terribly irresponsible to do for my family. Not only that, now if I'm putting those chemicals on my head, they have to be washed out. And then they go into the ground. So it is contaminating the earth, and I hug trees. And I have to take care of Mother Earth, so I am not going to contaminate the water supply with these harmful chemicals that are cancer-causing. They're So anyway, that's why pearls generally will just let it go gray, and they're just going to embrace this season of their life, and they're graduating into this next season, and thus you see I have all kinds of white stuff coming out of the top of my head right now. I'm stoked. I'm 48 and a half. I'm actually, it'll be 49 in March, and to have just, you know, I don't know, 50 or 100 of them, that's like pretty darn good. The amount of kids I have and dealing with all of you people, I should have like a full white head of hair. Anyway, so their clothing is, like I said, they love bamboo cotton. They love the bamboo towels and sheets. Why? Because bamboo is amazing. They're building houses with it. They're building buildings with it, right? And they're making clothing out of it. And bamboo grows like 3 meters a year, so it replaces itself really, really fast. It replenishes versus a tree. You got to save the trees, cut the bamboo. They're doing all kinds of creative things with bamboo. They're making flooring with bamboo. It's antimicrobial. It's antibacterial. It's anti, what else? Fungal. These things mean a lot to these people. These are the organic gardeners. We love to grow our own food. We like to live off of the land. We love to go camping. We love to be outside. We love the smell of the campfire. We love to stargaze. We love to go outside and just smell the air, unless you live in LA. We like to go outside, and if you live in LA, you're going to go to the beach and smell the tar. And all the suntan lotion. We like to be in quiet places. We like to be alone. We love long baths. We like the bubbles and the essential oils. We love nutritional supplements. We have lots and lots of nutritional supplements. We love natural lotions. We don't like any of the parabens in anything. We can't stand the GMOs, and we're mad as hell about the GMOs that are in our food that are contaminating our children, all of the autism that has been created because of the inoculations that have increased. We are the advocates for health and wellness of families. We're the advocates for the family. We hate that there is injustice happening all over the world, that children are going hungry, and that shouldn't be with all the wealth that is throughout the world. It just shouldn't be this way. And so many of us are volunteers. We love to volunteer our time. We actually feel better about volunteering, and we actually feel guilty getting paid. How many of you, everything I just said applies to you? Yep. We hate confrontation. We avoid confrontation like the plague. We don't like change. We like things staying the same, just like things moving. We love routines. We love the schedules. We like to count on things being consistent because that's where we find our security. And wouldn't it be great if everyone agreed with us? Wouldn't that just be heaven if everyone agreed with everything I just said? The world would be such a peaceful place. We love and value peace and harmony more than we value most things. We cannot handle things being we can't stand toxic surroundings, toxic relationships. We just love peace, and we fight for peace. And even if that means becoming a doormat, we have done that. We've played that card, which creates more toxicity. We're very warm and relational. We actually like the thank you cards. We like to write those kind of thank you cards. We like the scrapbooking. We are the people who have kept the family photo albums from the time our child was born and made sure we took pictures at the 3-month mark, the 6-month mark, the 9-month mark, the 12-month mark, the 1 year, the 2 year, the 3 year. We document everything. Our photo albums look the same every year. It starts with the same event, January 1st. Ends on December 31st. Okay. We love history. History is important to us. We love traditions. We are the people that receive the family heirlooms because our family knows we're not going to hawk them for some business. We're not going to pawn them for a new dress or new shoes or a new surfboard. We're actually going to keep our grandmother's wedding ring. Why? I have no idea. We actually are going to keep the bedspread that was the wedding bedspread of our Italian great-grandmother. We're the ones that actually preserve all the family traditions, and we preserve all the family recipes. And we want to make sure that everybody understands the value of all these very important things. These people have a lot of clutter in their houses, if they especially are a pearl sapphire. They're a pearl emerald, not so much. But they can't throw anything away. They save everything because everything has a special, significant, warm, important meaning. So, and I might use this. Right? So on their refrigerators, they've got their five-year-old son's handprint. You remember coming up here on Thanksgiving? Come on, what's the little hand turns into a turkey, right? Yeah, and their son is 35 years old, and it is still on the fridge. But that's okay because their son has a son, and there's another handprint that was made into a turkey, so they're right next to each other. These are really good listeners, which is why they're good with people. But like I said to the sapphires, that which you're good at, you tend not to master. To get yourself in the 2%, you need to master the skill of dealing with people and motivating people. And I'll tell you where you have some weaknesses with people. Because the fact that you are very tolerant and you're peacemakers, okay, and you want everyone to work together, because the fact that you hate confrontation and you've not been trained in two areas, there's just two areas that you've not been trained in. One is emotional health. And two is the art of confronting an issue that brings harmony, peace, and restoration. So what ends up happening is that you will adapt to the change. You will adapt. You will adapt. You will adapt. You'll continue to adapt. You will continue to adapt. And people have a tendency of taking advantage of you because you taught them to take advantage of you. You taught them it was okay to borrow money and not pay it back because you did not confront them or ask them, where is the money that you said would be due 30 days from now? Whenever someone has called you again and again and has said, the kids don't have milk, the heat's been turned off, my cell phone has been canceled, when you hear those stories, you actually believe the lies that are being told to you. You actually believe those stories. So when you believe those stories, they are manipulating you. And the reality is, why do we continue to help the people that take advantage of us? Tell me why. She says they're more worthy. But tell me why you... What was that? Did someone say... It feels good. How many of you, it makes you feel good when you help and rescue somebody again? Which is pride and selfishness. Straight up selfishness. Because is it really helping the person? And how many of you know it is not helping the person? You know it's not helping the person. How many of you are in business? Those of you in business, how many of you give away your product for free or at a major discount? You don't charge shipping and freight, right? And why do we do this? To be nice. To be nice? Yeah. Why do you want to do it to be nice, Tara?
I like to make people happy.
Why do you like to make people happy, Tara? So they come back. Why do you want them to come back, Tara? You don't want to say it. You can say it because it makes me feel good. Can you say it out loud? Yeah, come on. You need to say it. The first step into emotional healing is confession. It makes me feel good. Okay, good. All right, so is it really about the other person? And you know, you guys judge those rubies as being selfish. You judge them as being selfish and self-centered. But in all reality, you walk in the manipulation of the same thing. What you judge, you will become. and judged in the same way. So here you actually elevate yourself. Well, I'm a do-gooder. I do good deeds. Those guys just spend all their money on their fast cars, their big houses, and their expensive clothes. At least I'm taking care of the poor. You know how many orphans you could feed with that money? Yeah, because feeding the orphan makes you feel good. Makes you feel more elevated than them. Yeah, you're right. It's awful. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, that's called deception. Pride is very deceiving and very sneaky. So if it really was about helping the person and you really wanted them to get the benefit of the product, the benefit of the service, giving it away for free or charging them full price? Let's do a quick study. How many of you have given away your product or service for free? Did they use it? Wow, they didn't use it, which meant they didn't value it. They didn't value it. So you wasted your money. That money that you gave them, that $20, $100, could have fed the orphan if you really cared about the orphan. Could have fed the homeless if you actually really were about the homeless. And you all complain about the fact that you wish you could give more if you had more. You actually have a lot. You're just so busy feeding your ego with making yourself feel good before your friends and family members that keep asking you for help, and you keep saying yes because it makes you feel like you rescued the day. So be careful what you judge. I know, you say ouch. Just say ouch. I know this up close and personal, friends. It's the only reason why I can talk about it, because I'm talking about myself. Okay? You will be judged in the same way that you judge, and you will reap what you sow. So you'll become what you judge. So when you judge them as selfish, you are selfish. People judge from their own hearts. Out of the mouth is the overflow of the heart. So when judgment is coming out of your mouth, that's actually you. You are talking about yourself. You're literally talking about yourself. You're literally cursing yourself. You're literally judging yourself. So that which you can see in another is true about you. Yep. You're just sneaky. They are out front with the bad selves. They don't care what you think. They're like, dude, I like my house. I like my car. And I'm going to buy that boat. And guess what? That's the way God made them. That's the way the great designer designed them. Not to be owned by those things, but that's the way they were designed. So, how do you fix this problem? How do you have this problem of rescuing all the wrong people and then complaining that you don't have enough to rescue the ones that really need to be rescued? Right? How many of you like to fix this problem? It's really simple, okay? So like I said, the first thing was we've not been trained with emotional health. Pearls have a tendency, because of a lack of health in this area and a lack of skill in this area, are enablers. So then what happens is we feel like we're being taken advantage of, when in all reality, it's a codependency. You're getting your need filled of feeling good about yourself because you rescued. They're getting their need filled of buying a new cell phone with the money they lied to you about saying that they couldn't pay their gas bill. Or they're going to go buy drugs. Or they're going to go buy more alcohol. Or they're going to go party with it. Right? How many of you know that's where some of the money has gone? Right? You can raise your hands. You know that. You know it. So which means that you're actually furthering their problem. You're actually making their problem worse. And you are their drug dealer. You're their supplier. No, I'm not. I'm buying milk. No, you're not. They have their own money to buy milk. But they're buying drugs instead. Because they know you'll buy the milk. I come from this family, okay? I ain't making this crap up. So, how do we fix it? One, you recognize what it is you're actually doing. And number two, you really do have a heart that wants to help. You really, really have a passion for helping people. It's the way you were designed. You really have a passion for serving. You really have a passion for, by the way, your spiritual gift is a shower of mercy. That's what you are. You're a show of mercy. That's the way you were wired. Your other spiritual gift is service, hospitality. That's who you are. That's the way that you were wired together in your mother's womb. However, you break the codependency by the second thing, and that is learning how to confront an issue that brings reconciliation, that brings restoration to the whole situation. How many of you like that script? Okay, there's two scripts for this. One I will give you now. The second one is at creating a dynasty. And you'll actually go through an experience where you have to learn how to communicate, and it's written down. You'll just read it. You'll have it in a file. Anytime the situation comes up, you pull it out, you read it. It's called disarming dissension. You want to learn to disarm dissension, disarm discord. So, but this is one way, because you're going to get a phone call probably in the next 7 days of somebody asking you for money again. It's going to be the same person that asked you a month ago, right? And this is basically how you can very simply answer it. But before I go there, let me say this. How many of you have been taken advantage of a lot? And then as you're continuously being taken advantage of, how many of you, after a while, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, as that tension is building, the tension is building, the tension is building, the tension is building, the tension is building, how many of you explode and act like a principality of darkness? Okay, now, you've had a pearl explode on you before. And when they do, all those four-letter words come right out of their mouth. They are screaming at you. Their bodies are flailing. They look like a demon. And then when they're all done, they go, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I just can't believe. Well, actually, I did mean what I said, but I'm really, really sorry about how I just acted. Will you please forgive me? They should have acted that way like 2 years before. But they have an intense amount of patience. They have an intense amount of patience. They are easily swayed to somebody else's opinion because they don't know who they are and what their calling is. So someone can sway them to another. And why? Because number one, they don't know who they are. Two, they hate making decisions. They're indecisive. So these are not the people that can make a decision on the fly. You don't want to put these people in a position in a company where decisions have to be made. Unless, of course, there is a protocol that's already in place. They can follow somebody else's procedures and they'll help everybody stick to those procedures, but they cannot help anyone stick to their own procedures. They'll be indecisive. Let me show you. How many of you, let's go to lunch. Where do you want to eat? I don't know, wherever you want to eat, right? So could you imagine two pearls being married to each other? They'd never eat. They'd never eat because they can't decide what to eat. They can't decide where to eat. They can't decide what time to eat. Like, they want somebody else to make the decision, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's how they were made. They rather follow somebody else who's making the decisions than be the one having to make the decisions themselves. They procrastinate largely on making decisions. They feel the pressure of having to say the right answer. They feel the pressure of saying yes or no. So when they get asked a lot of questions, it completely stresses them out. They are incredibly faithful and consistent to follow a protocol, but they are not the people to have to make a decision on a new one. And when a new one comes, again, it stresses them out because they don't like change. But if you communicate with them and you let them know up front, hey, listen, and you let them know why the change is coming. You actually get buy-in as to why the change is being made. They will actually come to the conclusion itself that it's better for the whole team. It's better for the company. It's better so that we can help more people. I know you care about helping more people, so therefore we want to be able to do that. And we've found some places where there's some major bottlenecks, and we're going to have to, as much as it means it's a small adjustment, don't call it a change, it's a slight adjustment. These slight adjustments help us so that everything can be smoother and the transition could be a less stressful transition and everything can go better so that we can stay focused and doing the things of serving and helping the people that we're here to help. So that's a way to help transition them into change versus saying, we're changing this policy. The policy sucks. You got to suck it up, step up, put your big girl and big boy panties on and let's go. Sorry. You just completely stress them out and they're thinking about how is this going to affect everybody else? They're very much in tune with the feelings of other people, which is why it's important to ask for their input on things that you're wanting to change in a company. You want to hear their heart and hear what they see, where the effect and the possible bad effect or possible good effect is going to come from. So back to your script. So when that person calls you, this is essentially how you want to handle that. You want to say, you know, they say, well, you know, we don't have milk anymore. They're giving you the whining story. And here's what you're going to say. Thank you so much for calling. And I want you to know that I love you. And our history together has proven that I believe in you and that I am for you. Would you agree with that? Can you guys ask that question? Isn't that question, isn't, don't you know what the answer is? What's the answer when you say that? The answer is yes, yes. Our history together shows that I do love you, right? And that I am for you and I am not against you. And to be honest with you, I just came out of a training seminar and I have to ask you to forgive me because I really messed up with something. I learned something about myself that I'm really not proud of. And I'm so glad you called because it's time for me to make it right, especially with you. And I actually have a list of a few other people that I need to make it right with. First of all, will you forgive me for hurting you? What do you think they're going to say? What do you mean? How did I hurt you? I hurt you with really just helping myself. You see, I get great enjoyment out of rescuing people. But in my enjoyment of rescuing, I actually hurt you by truly not helping you never have to make this phone call again. I created an environment where you have to continuously borrow money from me and other people. I put you in an environment where you're stuck financially. And it's not all my fault, but I have to take responsibility for my part in this. And so moving forward, I absolutely want to help you financially. I want to help you never, ever have to make this phone call again. I want to help you be in a position where actually you could help others if you choose to. So do you have a piece of paper and a pen handy? Because I'm going to help you right now never have to make this phone call again. Yes, I have a piece of paper. Great. Write this down. www.dannyjohnson.com. I'm sure you've heard of her. She was on Oprah, Secret Millionaire, every news outlet that exists in our country and all over the world. She's got a radio and television show. She's a best-selling author. You know, this woman was a homeless woman. And part of her story as a homeless woman, she had $35,000 in debt, $2.03 to her name. And when she reached out to her family, not a single one of them would help her. It was Christmas time, and she even said to her aunt, whatever you're going to send me for Christmas, please just send the cash. Her aunt said, I'm sorry you weren't on my Christmas list. Okay, well, if you were going to send me a Christmas card, can you just send me the $2? Aunt Carol, I truly have no money. I'm sorry I wasn't sending you a card. And Danny Johnson says that was the best thing that could have ever happened to her because she could not turn to another human to fix this. She had to learn how to never end up in this broke situation again. The woman bootstrapped it and started a business from the trunk of her car in a payphone booth and made $2,000 in 4 days. If her aunt had given her the money, she would not have done that. She became a millionaire inside of 2 years, and today she has helped hundreds of thousands of people change their finances, and you're the next one she's going to help. She has a free website. She has a television show that goes all over the country. You can actually watch it on her website. She has free articles. She even has a free book where she writes exactly the things that she did to be able to start that business and change her finances. So when you apply this information, just like the hundreds of thousands from all over the globe that have applied the information, you're going to be the next story on her website. And you and I will rejoice together that you will inspire the rest of our family to never be in this situation ever again. So moving forward, I'm going to come alongside you, believe in you, pray for you, encourage you, and I may even ask you, have you listened to Danny Johnson today? And what changes have you made? So at this time and forever, my bank account is closed, but I am here for you. And I will stand with you, and I will support you in whatever endeavor you want to do. So here's my recommendation. Go to the site right now. Watch today's show. And then I want you to call me in 45 minutes, because that's how long it is on her website. There's no commercials in the show on the website. I want you to tell me three things that you're going to apply. And then tomorrow I want you to call me and tell me three things that you're applying. And then the next day, you're going to call me and tell me three things that you're applying. I'm so excited to watch your story begin to be written today. Can you say that? Is that directing them where they can help themselves? And if you don't like my website and you don't think that I can help that person, then send them somewhere else. But if you continue to rescue the same person, you're going to continue to manifest like a principality of darkness and scream. You're going to continue to have this thing leaking outside of you where you want to help the poor, but you don't have the money to do it because the money's going to the wrong places. So the next time that you have this desire to give your product away for free and or at a major discount or not charging tax and freight, here's also my recommendation. That's called a nonprofit. And if you want a nonprofit, then so be it, have a nonprofit. You can't say your business isn't profitable. No, you're just not charging to make a profit. So if you're in business, it's a for-profit business. Make the profit, now take the profit and send it to the places that are important to you. Do that. You'll feel so much better about making a difference there than you will about giving somebody something for nothing that doesn't value it, therefore they do not have the impact of the product or the service. Okay, so let me tell you about pearls also. You guys make great business people. And your weakness is everything I just finished talking about. Your strength is that personal connection with people. Your strength is that you truly do care and people can feel it. Your strength is that you are very disarming in your communication. People look at you and know that you're not going to hurt a fly. So they trust you. They trust you. You are very reliable. You're very dependable. So in that reliability and dependability, people know that you're a good person and they want to work with you. The weakness is what bleeds you out, wears you out, stresses you out, makes you feel trapped, causes you now to have less relationships, even though you were made for relationships. How many of you that through the years you started to isolate yourself? You start to stay away from people. Why? Because you don't trust them anymore. Why? Because you've been taken advantage of. But whose fault is it that you were taken advantage of? Your own. It was your own fault. You taught them to take advantage of you instead of taking a stand, which is better for them. Do you understand? When you take a stand, it's actually better for them. It gives them a chance to do the right thing. So why do you make great business associates and great family members and great team players? Because of all those beautiful strengths that you have. And then what do you do with your weaknesses? If you can't have that conversation, you pass the phone to a Ruby who will. They don't even have to think about having that conversation. So if you don't want to cover your own weakness, have somebody else that will. Make sense? So, and that's also in the case of referring them to the website. What are you doing? You're putting the responsibility in their hand, and we have a proven track record of helping people, do we not? We have a proven track record of changing people's finances. We have a proven track record of seeing families healed, divorces saved, families coming together and growing together. So if you want that for these people and you want it for everybody else, it's simple. You put it off on that website and then all you are is you come alongside. Write this down, it's really important. You have a gift of comfort to comfort people. And the word comfort in the best success book ever written means to come alongside. It doesn't mean to take the pain away. It means to come alongside. So what we have a tendency to do, what we pearls have a tendency of doing, is we kind of have a God complex. We try to be the Savior instead of pointing to the Savior. Right? So comfort doesn't mean you're the Savior on the cross. That already happened. But it's pointing to that. And so it's coming alongside in support with prayer, encouragement, but not stepping in the way of their consequences. So here's the bottom line. Many pearls stand in the way of somebody else's reaping and sowing. What does that mean? Well, somebody has sown something bad, they're reaping something bad. You're like, it's okay, I'll take it. I'll take your consequences away. Let me ask everybody in the room, how do we learn? We learn through consequences. Sadly, that's how we were all made to learn, is we learn through trial and error. We learn through failure. Did you hear me? We learn through failure. We learn what doesn't work. We feel the pain of it. And then we find another way to make it work, right? And it's through the consequences that teach every single one of us. This is where our character is developed, is through consequences. So when somebody takes the place of someone else's consequences being received, that's why they don't learn. So you got to get out of the way and let them deal with their consequences. They have to feel the consequences of their choices. They have to. That's how we all mature. So when a pearl or anybody stands in the way of someone's consequences, now we become their savior and we become the one they come to every time. And they never learn that you're the one bearing the consequences. Can you tell me if any of you actually have studied the Great Success Book? Do you know what happens to that person who stands in the way of somebody else's consequences? God will not compete with anybody. Do you understand? You try to make yourself somebody else's God, he will remove you. He will not compete, and he will not be mocked. Get out of your own way, and get out of your people's way. You got to step aside. Get out of their way. They got to deal with it. They got to mature. Give them the gift that you've had. You had to mature by consequences. Don't take on other people's consequences. That's not your responsibility. It's theirs. Make sense? All right, awesome. So, time to move on. Music is amazing. Is there any composers in the room? Where's the closet metalheads? Stand to your feet, please. Closet metalheads, stand to your feet. Show that. Come on, stand to your feet. Show that passion. Come on. What? You got more respect from the Sapphires from that. That's why I wanted Chad to turn it up and keep it going. Yes, you did. Emeralds can actually work to that kind of music. They like techno, they like classical, they like heavy metal. It's all very complicated music. There's a whole lot of stuff going on in it, and somehow their minds can actually capture it. It doesn't stress them out. It stresses the heck out of them out. That music just brought in all kinds of anxiety for them. Some of them are still licking their wounds from the last sentence. You know, they're still thinking about, oh my gosh, I have like 25 phone calls to make. I've hurt so many people. I'm sorry. We all have, okay? We all have hurt people. Unfortunately, it's how we learn, and you just learned a lesson. Your butt's a little red. You might have a little bit of bruising from that last spanking, but you now are going to grow into a better leader, will you not? How many of you are going to have more profits now? Yes. And how many of you will be able to go take care of the poor better now? Yes. And it will be clean. Those people can never pay you back. There's nothing like that. But our emeralds, that kind of music, for some reason, pulls a passion out of us. It's like invigorating. For some reason, it causes emeralds to be able to focus, and I don't know how that makes any sense, but somehow it does. Okay, these are the personality that enjoys instructions. They like things to be laid out. They have loved the parts of the seminars where I've been step one, step two, step three. It's like, yes, it fits into their notes perfectly. This is why I did it, was to please you. They enjoy clarity. They hate confusion. They hate chaos. Their clothing typically is going to be dark and dated in most cases. They make everything last. They make everything maintain. And not only that, they understand history and cycles. And they understand the fact that fashion repeats itself. That it goes through trends, right? So they save everything. They make everything last. These are the people that their cars are perfectly maintained. These are the people that there's no trash in their car. There's no dust on top of the dashboard. Everything, there's no dust. There's not French fries in the, what is that thing called that you put into park and drive? What? The gear shift. There's not French fries lodged in there. There is also not spilled milkshake in there. There's not soda cans underneath the seat. Their trunk is not filled with trash or dead bodies. Okay? Their trunk is clean. The back seat is clean. There's nothing underneath the seats. There's not dust in there. Our cars are perfectly maintained and in the shop exactly when it's supposed to be. We have it dated in our calendar with alarms letting us know when this is actually supposed to be done. We actually read the instructions first, all of them, sometimes twice, to make sure we didn't miss anything. And if something actually has to be put together, we actually take an inventory of all the parts first. And why do we take an inventory of the parts, please, to help us teach the rest of the room? Because we have to make sure all the parts are there. Why? Well, they can tell you. See, they don't take an inventory of anything. In fact, when these people first came to this event, they brought the most luggage out of everybody in the room. Where we bring the least amount of luggage. We wear exactly what we outlined. We made a list of what to pack. In fact, most of us, if we travel a lot, we have an already pre-made list that has boxes that we check when we figured out. And we have each day that we're going to be gone and each outfit that which we need to do. And we also mix and match a few things so we can pack less and less and less. We love efficiency versus these people behind me. They don't have a list. They packed the night before. They have two gigantic suitcases. Our toiletries are put in a bag. And we also put saran wrap over the top of that shampoo because it leaks. So we have saran wrap over the top of anything that's going to leak, have it sealed nice and tight. We squeeze it up to the top to get the air out of the bottle so there's no room for it to explode. Some of us have our clothing in separate bags as well. Where we have our chonies and undergarments in one tiny little bag that seals it and makes it really tight. We got all our jeans in a bag as well as other things that are squeezed really nice and tight. Yes, all color coordinated as well. Want to go upstairs and see my hotel room? Okay. These guys over here, they have clean and dirty clothes in their suitcase. Oh, yes. Nothing is folded. Everything's thrown in the bag. Hold it, including the shampoo just thrown on top of there, not in a separate bag. And shoes. Hopefully they bought two of the same shoe because sometimes that happens. Sometimes they just grabbed one shoe and I got to remember to get the other shoe. Completely forgot by the time it was time to leave. Whereas many of our shoes are in a bag. We have a shoe bag. We have several shoe bags. We have small, medium, and large shoe bags because we have boots. We have some of us that have heels, short boots, long boots. So they have their own little bag. And you never put the tennis shoes with the heels. We take an inventory, we make a list, we check it twice. To make sure we have everything that we need. And not anymore. Not more than we need. Just exactly what we need. And that's it. So therefore, we're very practical. Very organized. We love accuracy. Accuracy is like singing a love song to us. We can't stand hype. We are factual, and unfortunately, we use our God-given gift of detail-oriented and being able to retain facts. We often use it to argue. Did you say no, we... That is called lying, and lying is a sin, the last time I checked. We use facts to argue. We use historical data to argue, and we love to prove people wrong. And no one loves to be wrong. No one loves to be wrong. We have a tendency to go towards our greatest weakness, which is perfectionism. That's a great weakness that is not a strength. There is only one that walked perfect on the planet, and only one, and they killed him. Our gifting, spiritual gifting, is discernment, wisdom, and emeralds often operate in the gift of prophecy. And I'm not talking about this new flavor of prophecy that's in our church culture today. The new flavor is a position and a view and a perception of prophecy being encouragement, edification, and exhortation, which is all sapphire. And that is a very important part. That's inspiration and that's motivation. In my opinion, and my opinion is nothing, to be honest with you. I use 10% of my brain just like the rest of us. And my opinion is an accumulation of a whole lot of other people's opinions, as well as deep study, especially of that book. So do not use my opinion as weight to anything. I'll just give you a perspective and a perception. The gift of motivation is exhortation, encouragement, and edification. That all is a motivational, inspirational gift. But if you read historically in the best success book ever written, the prophets and what they said, it's correction and warning and pointing people beyond where they're at. This is where we're going. So the prophets often would say things like, you're kind of breaking all the laws. You've turned away from God. You better turn around or you're going to burn. You are provoking the wrath of God, and we are going to get in trouble because of your actions. So please turn back to him, and he will bless you, and he will make you a nation, and he will be your people. And I mean, he will be your God, and you will be his people. But there was correction first, and then the promise if they turned. That's prophecy, in my opinion, which is nothing. You do your own study. So in my opinion, our gifting, an emerald gifting, discernment, why? We naturally know there's an upside and downside to everything. Okay? The sapphires, all they see is sunny days. All they see is how everything's going to work. All they see is how everything's going to be positive and it's going to be great and we're going to love it. All we see first is the negative. How much is it going to cost? How long is it going to take? What if it doesn't work? What is the risk? How many people have died on this product before? Danny, what is your failure rate? You keep showing us your successes, but tell me what your failure rate is. How many of you have ever had questions like that from Emeralds? That's what they want to know. They want to know what the odds are. That's what they want to know. And so I want to teach you how to handle that objection, Sapphires, because Sapphires, you run away from these people. You try to avoid these people at all costs. Unless it's your mom. Is that what you just said? Her mom was an Emerald. Married. How many of you are married to Emeralds? How many of you are married to Sapphires? Okay, awesome. See, Emeralds are very reasonable people. And if you speak to them in that way, so here's a prime example. Okay, so Danny, what's your failure rate? And so, what's your name, sir? Keith. Keith, I am Danny. Very nice to meet you. Can I get a microphone, please? Thanks. Can you guess what personality that was? Can you guess what both of these are? That was two sapphires. How many sapphires does it take to get you a mic? Keith, would you mind standing up for me? Okay, and go ahead and ask me a question. Danny, what's your failure rate?
What is your failure rate?
Keith, that is such a great question. What do you do?
I'm a business analyst.
You're a business analyst. Okay. Sounds like the perfect profession for you.
Shocking, right?
That seems like a perfect profession. Keith, have you ever seen other people come into your profession?
Yes.
Have you seen others not last in your profession?
Yes.
Have you ever noticed that there are some who say they want to become a business analyst and they maybe even go to the schooling to become a business analyst, and yet at the end of the day they refuse to follow the protocols and they refuse to follow the instructions of becoming a business analyst?
Yes.
So what happens to those people?
They move on.
Exactly. So that is the same exact thing that happens here with Destiny Global and all of the training that happens here. Does that make sense?
Yes.
We absolutely have no control over anybody and their choices. We simply give the information so they can become successful in their professions and in their families, and it's up to them to actually apply the information just as you applied your schooling to become a successful business analyst. So what I do know is that people like yourself who are able to follow directions and consistently apply those new skills, they become incredibly more successful than where they were before they came into that information. So would you like to grow in your field?
Yes.
Great. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's a sensible conversation. And when you relate it back to what the reality is of, do we have control of anyone who goes to college and make them use the information? No, we don't. So here's the reality. Don't be intimidated by their question. They know that there's an upside and a downside to everything. That is a gift. That is valuable. So you don't just make flippant decisions on no information. We have to make decisions on, okay, yeah, what is that projection? What is the capacity? What is the possibility? And if you know what those are up front, then you can handle them. So who do you ask to tell you what the objections are going to be? An Emerald. You want to know what the downside is so that you can prepare for that, so that you're not found unprepared. And a lot of people in life are unprepared. So if you run a business, it's good to know what the negative is. That's what I'm saying. Did you hear me? By the way, Emeralds, the negative scares them. And the negative scares them. They actually don't want to know it. And why does it scare them? It's basically how we communicate it to them. The way we communicate it to them expresses to them that there's no hope. It does. It expresses to them that there's no hope. Even though you see the negative as a possible challenge, right? And it's something that can be overcome with a good plan. It actually can be overcome. It's all in how we communicate. So you got to be aware of who you're talking to. So if you're talking to a sapphire and a pearl, you have to start with encouragement and the promise that's at the end, not start with the whole terrible thing that's all coming to a close. Does that make sense? You want to pitch to them, okay, guys, here's the reality. First, I want you to know that I'm about to tell you something that I don't want you to get the wrong picture of. I know your heart in wanting to help more people. And I know that you want to see some fun and new exciting things come on the horizon when you're talking to these guys. And we're going to do that. And I also want us to work together to figure out how we can do that even better. So in order to do that even better, we kind of need to remove some things out of the way that need to be improved so that we can have more fun, have more innovation, and be more effective there, and help so many more people that are desperately in need for it. So if we can come together, I have something I want us to ponder and think about. Tell me how you feel about, bam, present the problem. And I am eager to hear what your solutions would be. And I'm eager to hear what your solutions would be, because you have an ability to see things that others cannot see. And you have an ability to think about how people are going to feel when they see this. So together, we're going to be able to make a really good, solid decision. Emeralds, can you do that? Yes, you can. You see, not everybody is an emerald. Not everybody can handle the negative information. Not everybody sees the negative first. And these two personalities don't want to see it. So you have to craft it and present it in a way that actually makes them want to know what it is and wants to participate and engage and give the information. Because guess what? If you're the only one making the decision, you're only doing about 25% of the picture. Because your decisions are calculated and factual. And those calculated and factual decisions have no emotional content in it. And humans are emotional. So without the emotional input, you can't make a solid decision. Okay. You mean talking to her, Ruby? Oh, okay. Say again. They don't really like negative either. Rubies generally don't like. If they're secondary as emerald, they can handle it. But generally, they think negative is just a big waste of time. They think it's a big waste of time. Like, why are you wasting my time? So again, how would we present it to a ruby? It's really simple. Yes, as a challenge. That, you know what? Hey, Mr. Ruby, Mrs. Ruby, listen, I can't think of a better person to attack a problem and come up with a fast and amazing solution than you. Right? So here's the deal. Some people are going to move slow. Some are going to move fast. Some are going to be totally intimidated by the information that I'm about to present. Some are going to be crushed when they hear it. But I have a feeling that's not going to be you. I have a feeling you have the ability and the maturity and the wherewithal to be able to handle a certain situation that's just come up. And I think that you're going to be the best at solving it. If not, I'm pretty confident I can find someone else that will. You're squirming, huh? I certainly hope it'll be you. But not everybody has the stomach to stomach what I'm about to talk about. That's all a challenge. Everything I just said was a challenge. So here's what we got. Lay it out there. What do you think? How would you handle it? And they all attack that sucker like a dog on a bone. Thanks for asking the question. Okay, so emeralds are very inquisitive, and we have a tendency of intimidating people with our questions. Often people feel like they're being interrogated by our questions. So you want to be aware of your communication style. You're not necessarily interrogating. You just want verification. You just want the information. That's all that you want. And that information helps you to understand. We love understanding. We love knowledge. We love understanding. We love research. In fact, we often spend way too much time in the research mode and not producing enough results mode. So I want to help you with something that helped me years ago. because I am an avid researcher and I take way too long to make decisions. I am in the process of fixing that now by gleaning from my Ruby teammates and letting them make some of the decisions. Obviously, the ones that are going to have a massive negative, horrible impact on the company, I obviously have to weigh those kinds of things. But my new strategy is gleaning from the team, gleaning from their wisdom, gleaning from their perceptions versus taking on the decision to be all on my shoulders. I am actually delegating those decisions to other people to get their input, to see where they're at, and to find the place of unity where there's buy-in on everybody. And with that buy-in, then everyone's going to move forward. And the decision actually creates itself, meaning it pops up by itself, so I'm not the one having to make it, and I'm not spending a ton of time in research. Because I can research. Why do we research so much? We want the perfect answer, right? And perfection is a weakness, not a strength. It's a weakness, not a strength. Perfection is what causes us not to make the decision. Perfection is what causes us to create a standard that we want everyone else in this room to live up to, and no one can live up to it. We don't even live up to it ourselves. So we live a life of beating ourselves up and creating an environment where everyone else feels condemned right along with us. We tend to be self-critical and critical of others. Always pointing out what's wrong first, always pointing out what's not done enough, always pointing out what isn't efficient. Now, sadly, when people don't understand our personality, they just see that as a negative. But those of you in this room, you better hear me right now. Do you have any idea what a great strength that is? It's a great strength that a personality can see the negative on the horizon and prepare for it. That's actually a scripture in the Bible. A wise man sees the trouble ahead and makes preparations for it. The foolish man sees the trouble ahead and just ignores it and says, we'll just deal with it when it comes. That's what the Bible says is foolish. Wisdom says there's something over there and we better make, that's our part. Do you understand? Our part is to see that. Our part is not to shove that down everybody else's throat and convince them that that's how it should be, right? So when you have somebody on your team that is efficient and is that can do research, that's a gift. That's an absolute gift. That's not a negative. That's an important gift and a part of a team. So with you, with the Emeralds, let me give you this tiny little switch in your mind that really helped me to become more productive and more results-oriented, and so, which is more like them, versus always working towards perfection. And what I find is that the older Emeralds get, the more of perfection they lean towards. And the more buried they get. The more buried we get. We were much more productive when we were younger. We got more results when we were younger. As we've aged, we've gotten less productive and more in research. And I'm going to tell you what the root is. The fear of making a mistake. The fear of it not being perfect. Why? No one taught us that we shouldn't be striving for perfection. Perfection is an inhuman thing. It's inhuman. That doesn't mean that we're not going to give it our best shot. You don't have to tell you to give it your best shot. Emeralds are going to do their very best no matter what. They're going to get as close to perfection as they can. The saddest part about an emerald is that when we don't reach perfection, how do we feel? Failure. Feel like a failure. Can you believe that? We don't see the success of 98% that was perfect like they do. What do we see? The 2% that we failed. And that's what we sell to everybody is the 2% that failed. That's what we produce. That's what we promote. So we don't even recognize the good that was actually done. We don't even see the progress. So let me help you with this little switch in your brain. It's about perspective. You ready? It's not about perfection. It's about getting it done with results. Test the results. So it's not, the goal is not perfection. The goal is getting it done. I have a colleague of mine that I'm working with. His name is David. We just had a retreat with him. Mic dropped the first, like, I don't know, couple of hours. There was a mic drop for me. I was like, ah. And here it was. I'm going to say it to you. I hope it means to you what it meant to me. Get comfortable with making mistakes. Get comfortable with making mistakes. Get comfortable with failure. It's okay to fail. It's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to screw up. Get comfortable with it. Get so comfortable with it that you'll make decisions faster. Because it's through the faster decisions that you will make that you will find the real solution. You see, life is a journey. Business is a journey. Family is a journey. It's all a journey. And so testing the results is what you want to do. Test the results. In the testing, it then proves to you where the course is versus let me get all the information first, hope that I made a good decision, and then you go try to get the result, and it turned out it wasn't the right decision, right? So, and then what we do is we throw the baby out with the bathwater. Screw it. It didn't work. I'm over it. I'm out. How many of you do this? Okay. No, actually, that just, come on. If we were Edison, if we were Edison, would we have a light bulb? If Edison was an emerald, would there be a light bulb? No. What do you think Edison was? Sapphire. Total innovator. Total innovator. Total innovator. Total innovator. Total Einstein. Total sapphire. Innovator, 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 innovator. Test the results. Let me give you a great example. Can I use a sales example for you? Is that okay with you? Okay. So what an emerald typically does is that they want to get all of Danny's sales training. I'm going to spend the next year devouring the entire DJU. I'm going to sit. I'm going to spend 10 hours a week as though I am in college and I'm taking two classes. I'm going to take notes. I'm going to rewrite my notes. I'm going to absorb as much information as I can. And by this time next year, then I'll start applying the information. You don't know what I mean? Lying is a sin. Okay? So let me give you another example. So you're saying, how do I test the results? All right. Can you hold that for me? Okay. How do I test the results? Okay. So that looks like this, is that yes, you get your materials, you get your tools to teach you how to be able to communicate with people, how to be able to prospect, how to present, how to close. Yes, you get that. And you do start pressing play a good 10 hours a week, but you apply each day of what you're listening to. So if you're listening to 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, you don't wait a year from now to apply, you apply it instantly, okay? Now here's the deal. When you apply it instantly, now this is what's interesting, is that an emerald assumes they need everything first. No, you already have a baseline level of skill. The only thing that will tell you where your baseline level of skill is what your results are, right? So when it comes to a sales equation, and by the way, all of you need to track numbers. I don't care what your personality is. And by the way, if you're a ruby emerald, you naturally track numbers. If you're a ruby sapphire, you hate tracking numbers. Okay, so let me give you the answer. Hire an emerald. Or trade, barter with an emerald. If you don't have the numbers to track, you get off track. You get off track. And all you do is work from emotion. I feel like I'm not succeeding. And then you change something that you should not have changed. The facts tell you actually where you need the help and where you're strong. So in the case with testing the results, it's really simple. So you track dials. How many phone calls did I make to prospects? From the dials, you have connections, actually, that you read a script to. From the connections, you have how many actually came to a presentation. Are you all writing this down? Okay. From the present, how many showed up to the presentation? After the presentation, the next set of numbers is who said what? How many yeses, how many noes, how many think it overs, how many I don't have the monies, how many call me in 2 weeks, how many not interested. So you track what those people said. So one more number after that is your follow-up number. What happened in the follow-up with the call me in 2 weeks, I need to talk to my spouse, I don't have the money. What was the follow-up with them? What was your engagement? Keeping those people engaged. Even though they didn't give the money to get started, even though they didn't buy the contract or whatever it is that someone is marketing, whatever that is, what they said, what was your conversions to those that didn't get started immediately, that didn't buy into your company or whatever immediately. So what that follow-up process, that's a whole nother set of follow-up numbers, right, that then lead into a conversion. So what each of these numbers show you is actually where you need the help. So watch. So in general, I'll just say in a general ad campaign, you're generally going to have about 5% of the people that you'll connect with on the phone. So if you have 200 leads and you call 200 people, 5% of 200 is what? Huh? 10. So that means that you got a hold of 10 people. So with 10 conversations, okay, how many then came and you booked an appointment with them and they actually showed up? You might be able to book 8, but then how many showed up, right? So let's say that 8 said, yes, I'll be there at 2 o'clock on Friday for that meeting, right? But only 4 showed up. So what does that tell you? Where do you need some help? You need, exactly, you need help in that communication. That first initial contact is where you need help. Because out of 10 people you talked to, 4 only showed up. So that's a 40% show up rate to the presentation. Okay? So out of the 4 that showed up, let's say that you signed one deal. You closed one. So that's 1 out of 4. Hi, handsome. That's 1 out of 4. What's your closing ratio? 25%. So you have a 25% closing ratio, which I will tell you, being somebody who is trained in sales, who was in sales, is in sales, that's a really high closing ratio. That's a super high closing ratio. 1 out of 10 is a great closing ratio. 10% closing ratio for a lot of different business models, you can generate 6 figures on a 10% closing ratio. So 25% closing ratio is amazing, absolutely amazing. Anyone that's in that range or above that, and I've got clients, including myself, there's far more than 25%, and that's because we tested our results and focused on that. Does that make sense? So if I have a 40% show up ratio and I have a 25% closing ratio, tell me where I should be working. Huh? Okay, wait. If 10 people I talked to, okay, I talked to 10, 4 showed up. 1 out of 4 signed the deal. You need more people to show up. She got the number. So what it tells me is that, wow, so if I can increase my show up ratio from 40% to 80%, what do I have what's the result I'm getting? I have now 2 sales. I've doubled my income. Do you understand? I doubled my results simply by working on my prospecting portion. So that's what I mean by test results. See, some of you, when you get started, and if you're learning for 2 hours and applying that information that same day, you already have a baseline. Some of you are already really good at making that connection and getting people to show up. But if you spend an entire year learning first before you tried, you studied the wrong things. Does that make sense? So your results tell you where you actually need the help. Make sense? Okay, awesome. Thank you. Okay. Where am I? Are you feeling neglected, guys? Are you feeling neglected? All right, so let me close up this section. Let me close up this section with this. We have a tendency of being misjudged as being unethical and being cold-hearted and being closed-minded. And the fact is, we're not, but it is the way we communicate. And because we communicate in a way where we're constantly drilling people with questions, and we have not learned that there are 3 other personalities in the room, and they were perfectly designed the way they're designed on purpose, and we have not accepted other people's differences, we try to change people instead of utilizing their strengths to cover our weaknesses. How many of you can see that they have great strengths with people? They have great strengths with people, and that is not one of our great strengths. We can learn how to deal with people, and we can learn about it in a very systematic way. To be honest with you, I've raised up many emeralds to become some of the best communicators, closing $100 million deals, $100 million government contracts, because they learned how to communicate with the rest of the room instead of expecting everyone to communicate like an emerald. So I can't tell you how important it is for you to learn gems more than anybody in the room. And the thing that I love about you is that you actually are the ones that will master it because you know you suck at it.
We'll get back to you in a year.
You will not get back to me in a year. You're going to start studying now. So in a month, 4 weeks from today, Creating a dynasty is taking place. And in that creating a dynasty experience, we actually studied gems all 3 days. You're actually in exercises and you're actually learn to speak the language of each one of these gems. So by the time you walk out of that 3-day experience, you're able to think in a different language. And that when you are around that person, you know how to speak that language to them. It completely dynamically changes everything. So that's 3 solid days of being in exercises. I speak very little at Dynasty. You actually are in working out the skill and practicing the skills in groups of 4, generally. Groups of 4, and to where you're fine-tuning it. So now it's not hearing how to do something. It's actually practicing the thing in the environment and then me fine-tuning you as I'm watching you and I'm coaching you as you're inside of these exercises. So for the Sapphires, Dynasty is such a blast because you get to talk a lot and you get to meet a lot of people and you get to learn some new things, which is super fun for you. And for the Emeralds, it's so incredibly effective because now the knowledge is turning into skill and the skill is what actually produces the result. And so those procedures get inside of you. When you've practiced something for 3 days over and over again and 2 nights, you get it. Do you know what I mean? You start to get it. Is it going to be perfect? No, but it's a whole lot more perfect than it is today. It's one thing to hear something. It's a whole other thing to put it actually into practice. So that's taking place 4 weeks from now. Now, I know many of you have schedules and, you know, you got time commitments and all that kind of stuff. Here's the one thing I know. If it wasn't meant for you to be there, you would have heard about creating a dynasty in December. It's in November. And we also know that, yes, we don't like change, but it makes sense. How long do you want to wait before you really gain the skill set of communication so you can reduce your stress? How many of you say this is the biggest stress point in your life is communicating with people? How many of you say the biggest stress point in your life is the frustration that you have with misunderstandings, being misunderstood, and people not listening to what you say? Right? How many of you have lost sleep over it? How many of you wanted to live in a separate house because of it? You wanted a house for your family and then your own house right across the street. Anybody? Right? Wouldn't that just be perfect in a perfect world? How many of you want your own planet? Right? I mean, that's literally that's kind of how we start to think. We isolate ourselves. We just live in frustration and we just forget about it. It's never going to change. And we just get really quiet and say, forget it. I give up. And we just pour ourselves into our work because we feel like that's the thing that we can control. But it doesn't help. Loneliness is alive inside of Emeralds a lot. And it's simply because of a communication style and not understanding. So the question I have for you is, how many more months do you want to do that? How many more months do you want to carry that level of frustration, that level of stress? How many more months do you want to be inefficient even in your work life because you know that whatever happens at home stays in your head and you bring it to work? And then vice versa. Whatever happened at work stays in your head and you bring it home. So how many more months, how many more weeks, how many more days do you want to continue to live under that pressure? San Antonio, Texas. San Antonio, Texas is where it's at. It's cheap to fly to San Antonio all year round. One of the reasons why we do it there. So San Antonio, it's right downtown on the Riverwalk. Riverwalk is beautiful. There's a lot of great history there. If you want to stay a couple extra days or come a couple extra days early, go to the Alamo. I know that you love research. I know that you love history. I know that you love museums. So there's a lot of history in the state of Texas. And right there at the downtown Riverwalk is a fabulous place to stay. So, and we've negotiated great pricing on the hotel rooms as well. So I want you to think about what price would you be willing to pay to conquer this one area of your life? Okay, what are the dates? 10th, 11th, and 12th of November. 10th, 11th, and 12th. Not soon enough for some of you. It's not soon enough for some of you. So whatever it takes to move the calendar around, I know you're good at it. I know you're good at negotiating. Get that done. This is really important. How many of you do not want to carry that level of stress and frustration into 2018? Then creating a dynasty is the place that I will see you. I'm excited for you because I know you'll be diligent. You'll be very, very diligent with your learning of it. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for me to move on. Yeah. energy.
Thank you.
It's awesome. It's intense. It's beautiful. Okay, so as you can tell, everybody else who was watching our rubies, that they are intense and they are powerful and they are passionate. They were born to lead. They were wired in their mother's wombs to lead. They love to take charge in everything that they do. They're very enterprising. Some of these people started businesses as a five-year-old. These are the kids that won all the See's Candy door-to-door sales contests. These are the kids that whenever they gave us the poster about what you could win if you sold X, they went straight to the top prize, put their eye on that prize, and they went after it with everything that they had. And they typically were the one that won. Not paying any idea about any other competition was around them because they knew they were the best and they were going to win and that prize was theirs. Period. End of story. They love to be in authoritative positions. I'm so sorry. I have a hair. It's driving me freaking mad. It's on my lipstick and caught on my mic. There we go. Okay. Not going to shave my head. Thanks. I feel it. Okay. So, they are very determined. They do not understand the concept of quitting. Quitting is never an option for them. Only winning. Winning is the only option. And they will not play if they can't win. And they will judge the game as stupid. So if they can't win, right away, that's a dumb game. I'm not even going to play that. So they will only play that which they can win. Because winning to them is everything. Winning is everything. They have to have a challenge in front of them. The tendency is they have a lot of challenge all around them. And when they add too many challenges to their plate, they experience burnout. How many of you are hard at driving whatever project it is that you're doing? Maybe that's just, how many of you only have one speed? And that one speed is faster than everyone else. That speed is faster than everybody else. So that's the speed that they like to play in. That's the speed that they must be driving in. And they have a tendency of driving that speed in like 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 different directions, which then brings them to a place of complete burnout. So their production is like, bam, and then it's like they shoot straight up like a rocket into the sky, and then they have to sleep for 2 months. Why? Because they have this motto that is conflicting to their human body. By the way, these are the superheroes in the room. It is. These are the superheroes in the room. They get more done than anybody else in the room. They get it done faster than anybody else in the room. They get it done better than anybody else in the room. You can ask them. They will tell you how many times they've done that. So they get to a place where they're shooting like a rocket. They fall out of the sky. And largely the reason is that whoever has done something, they know they can do it better. And whatever needs to get done, they know they're the right person for the job. The problem is that they don't always assess whether or not it's wise right now. Timing is everything. Timing is everything. And timing is something that is a weakness for a ruby. Rubies tend to like to be individual sports type people. And generally, they want to be an individual sports person because they don't want anyone else to cause them to lose. Hate volleyball. Why? Because somebody else cannot get that dig, right? Somebody else can screw up that spike. Someone else can screw up that serve. But if it was only up to you, well, then you would get it done. You would serve, you would strike, you would dig, and it would be done, right? So therefore, rubies have a tendency of having a challenge of learning to delegate. Sapphires delegate really well. They naturally delegate, they naturally build a team, they recruit a bunch of help. But rubies think that they can get it all done themselves and they don't need any help. They're self-reliant. They're self-directed. So they have a tendency of putting a lot of things on their task list. Their task list is like 45 things first thing in the morning. Never even looking at all the appointments they have for the day and all the other commitments that they have for the day. Let me give you some help on this. What's the one thing you will accomplish today? What's the one thing you will accomplish? What's the number one most important thing? Because rubies have a tendency of making everything a high priority. So that list of 45 things that have to be done, they're all priority number one. Yep. But can you actually get all 45 things done in a day? No, you can't. So tell me how you go to bed feeling. Failure, unfinished, stressed out, anxiety, defeated, you're not sleeping, or you don't go to bed, you pull an all-nighter. How many of you have done this? How many of you have done this day after day? So tell me what happens when you continue to do this day after day. You crash, but can you tell me what else crashes in your life? Everything crashes, right? Because when you're working like that, you're sitting at the dinner table with your family, right? And they know you're not there. They know you're not there. They know you're solving problems in your head. You got your cell phone at the dinner table. You're sending emails. You're posting on Facebook. You're trying to close a deal. The phone rings. You answer it. You miss out on all that time with your wife and kids or your husband and your kids. Everyone feels like your career and money is your number one priority in your life, and they all feel neglected. So now when the wife and the kids or the husband and the kids feel neglected, can you please tell me what this creates? Divorce. Negative behavior in the kids. Now we have more problems to solve with the family, which means now you're distracted at work because you had a fight with the teenager or the toddler or the spouse on your way to work. And now that fight is in your head. And when that fight is in your head, you're arguing still and you're festering all over this thing. And with all of that festering, are you able to make good, solid decisions and focus and produce? Tell me the answer, yes or no?
No.
My
kids actually asked me, Dad, are you talking to yourself again?
This gentleman just said that his kids actually asked him, Dad, are you talking to yourself again? So not being present is actually a detriment to the overall goal. And so rubies take on more than they should because they think they can. And why? Because you were born with an extra dose of confidence. Every single one of you, when you were knitted in your mother's womb, you were given a ton of confidence. There's no mountain too high. There's no challenge too big. Nothing is impossible for you. So speaking of spiritual gifts, you got some spiritual gifts. There was a translation thing. And again, if you like to study, you would find these things. I love to study. So in our The Best Success I've Ever Written, for some unknown reason, the Greek translators, they changed a word. It was translated, in my opinion, which is worth nothing. But did someone just walk by me? Okay. The word was administrate. He who has a gift to administrate, let him administer. The word is not administrate. The word is rule. The actual literal translation of the Aramaic word, because that part of the Bible was written in Aramaic first, from Aramaic to Greek, was rule. He who has a gift to rule, let him rule or even govern well. Rulers. Not administrators. Rulers, to rule and reign and to walk in dominion and cultivate the earth, to produce, that's your spiritual gift, is to rule. That's what you were born for. That's what you were made for. That's what your gifting is all about. Another thing that I watch often rubies to walk in is in miracles. Because they believe nothing is impossible. So they go after the impossible. So miracles, signs, and wonders, that is appealing to rubies. They love the the scream and the walls of Jericho coming down. They love the wars and the battles that were in the Bible. They love the time during Judges where it was just one army after another hitting the dust and Israel prevailing. That's what you were made for. The generals of the armies. Those who lead and lead well. So that's your spiritual gifting. And every fighter, every warrior, every ruler has got to surround themselves with people who have gifting in the areas where you don't. That's wise. So some people are better at managing their time than others. This is an area that you've got to learn. I had a nervous breakdown at 25 and a heart attack at 24. After I made my first million, I swallowed a stupid pill. I made my first million part-time, really part-time. I used to work about 4 days a month, and that was it. Why? Because when you focus hard on skill set, and you develop your skill, and you test where your skill is, and you fine-tune that skill, what you lack in skill gets made up with time. What you lack with skill gets made up with time. So my focus was I didn't want my business to own me, and I did not want to spend my whole life just working. What I wanted my life to be, and again, this was my personal definition of success. It doesn't have to be yours, but it was mine. I actually wanted to enjoy the fruit of my labor versus constantly being under the grind and feeling like I'm never accomplishing anything. So I focused hard on fine-tuning my skills and mastery of skill sets. As I mastered my closing ratios getting up to 90%, as I mastered my show-up ratios of 90 to 100%, it was easy. Everything became, it took about a year and a half for me to get there. And so then I got to work 4 days a month, 2 days before a first steps, 2 days after, and that was about it. So these 4 days, I became incredibly efficient, and I spent the rest of my time enjoying my life. Then I got embezzled, and I swallowed a stupid pill. I had $1 million worth of product in a warehouse. I was manufacturing my own products, and I got embezzled. I owed $1 million, plus I had $1 million of inventory, and I had nobody to take it to the market. This was a tragedy. I swallow a stupid pill and I decide I'm going to take on all of the responsibility and I'm going to play every role inside of my two companies that I had at the time. So now I was working 5 to 6 days a week, 16 to 18 hours a day, which is 100 hours a week. I did this for 2 years. From 93, it's the year I got married, and it stopped in 95. So this happened for about 2 years. A little over 2 years. Heart attack happened in 94. Wow. December of 94. That was 1 year in. Wow. Nervous breakdown and tried to kill myself. December of 95. My husband's a martial artist and a very strong, beautiful man. If he was not a martial artist, I would be dead today. I had a cleaver in one hand and a chef knife in the other and come in and to gut myself. And he pinned me down to the ground with the knives flat on the ground. And our 4-year-old daughter came out. She was asleep. She heard the screaming, wiping her eyes. Mommy, what's happening? What a traumatic thing to do to my husband and to my family. And all because of what? I was chasing money. I was trying to rebuild what I had lost. I was trying to keep up with the reputation of all the shattering of records and my big story of homeless to millions. I was trying to keep it all up to save face, and I was killing myself. I hated being married. The only thing I ever wanted to be was a mom, and that was the thing I was neglecting. I was neglecting what was important to me, all because of money, saving face, trying to keep up with the Joneses. After that nervous breakdown, I said, I don't care if I ever make another red cent. I'm done. This sucks. I'd rather be broke than be miserable. I'd rather have not this house. I'd rather drive an old beat-up car. I'd rather have nasty clothes. This life sucks. No, thank you. I'm finished. I cut my hours from 100 hours a week down to 20 hours a week and tripled my income. I tried to create an income for 2 years, working 18 hours a day, 5 to 6 days a week. As fast as I was chasing the money is as fast as it was what? Running. It was running away from me. As soon as I stopped chasing the money and I adjusted my priorities and I decided to live my life by my design, not by the design of somebody else that told me that's what it was going to take to succeed. I lived it according to my design. 20 hours a week was all I was willing to give. I put in 20 hours a week, tripled my income, became a mom. Hans and my relationship healed. I actually was living. I got healthy and far more productive and then made far more many millions of dollars than I had before on less time. Here's the other kicker. I was wasting 8 hours a week, and many of you are too. Many of you are wasting a lot of hours and a lot of thinking time, not producing thinking you are. How many of you would like some help in that area? How many of you, I just described your life. How many of you know you cannot go into 2018 with that life? There is a solution that I know only a few of you are going to participate with. Here is a solution that I know that some of you are still going to walk in this overconfident place that has brought you to burnout at least once a year. And you're going to say, I'll figure it out on my own. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have that one go through your head quite often? I'll figure it out on my own. How well is that working for you? How many of you say you might want to, you know, change that way of thinking a little bit, right? So for those of you that are ready to change that way of thinking, there's two things I want to pass on to you. A ruby with accountability is unstoppable. A ruby with accountability is unstoppable. How many of you ever had a coach that made you puke? Anyone have a coach that made you puke? The coach, Danny Johnson, yes, exactly. I know I've made a lot of people puke. A coach will always pull more out of you than you will pull out of yourself. Generally, rubies will not put them in a situation where they cannot win. So therefore, they always surround themselves with people who are just a little less than they are. You surround yourselves with a little less than they are. You know, these are people that walked in the room, and they sized up all the competition. They came to the conclusion that I'm the best one in the room, right? So you tend to not be around people who are better than you. You tend to be around people who have not accomplished more than you. And why? Because you like to be the lead, and you want to tell everybody what to do. But a ruby with accountability, there's no competition for that guy. Because the best is what gets pulled out of you with accountability. Without accountability, write this down. You lead yourself to destruction. All you have to do is look at your history. A ruby with no accountability leads themselves to destruction. Why? Because there's always opportunity to take advantage of, and you think you can do it all. That's why. So now what? Second thing. 4 weeks from now, we are going to be in San Antonio, and there'll be a few rubies there. And those rubies are going to learn how to master their time. They're going to learn to master their priorities. They're going to learn to master the art of delegation of responsibilities. And they're going to learn how to build a team that produces far more than any one individual can on their own. You see, we can do more together, get more done faster together than we can singly on our own. By us joining forces and covering each other's weaknesses with each other's strengths, we will accomplish the goal in far less time than always trying to do it ourselves. So 4 weeks from today, you will be in a setting where you're going to be gaining some skill sets. And if you have people who have already been through First Steps to Success, if some of your staff has already been here, part of your sales force is already here, if they're at Creating a Dynasty with you, you all now are running together with the same skill sets, collectively towards a common goal, versus you having to stop and teach, which totally drives you crazy. You hate slowing down to grab a slow person to teach them how. Great, that's what I do. So when rubies collaborate, when they collaborate with other talent, this is how they can accomplish a goal faster. So you're also going to learn something so important and powerful, which changed my life, and that's how to manage your time. That saved my life. So guess how many hours I've worked since 1996? No more than 20 hours a week. The last 3 years, I took a sabbatical year 3 years ago, and then I took another one, and then I talked about coming back to work a year ago, and now I am. I'm in the midst of hiring an executive assistant to relieve Jen, who's my part-time executive assistant because I'm not around ever. So I'm hiring an executive assistant right now that's going to help me lead the entire organization and keep on tabs, making sure the ball is going down the court. I'm in the midst of hiring and interviewing for a social media strategist as well. We are going to kill it in 2018. I'm coming back to work my 20 hours a week, and we are going to kill it. We are going to grow it. We are going to build it. We're going to get to our goal, which is 100 million lives changed in the next 20 years. That is our goal, and that's where we're going. So I'm in the midst of recruiting my personal team that's going to help build this sucker and to build it strong and lasting and profitable. We are a super profitable company already, which I'm super blessed about, and you know where those profits go, but I want to provide jobs for the best talented people that I can possibly be around. And that's what I'm doing right now. So I'm recruiting my team right now. I've got my systems that are already in place. We started working on those systems a year ago, and I'm ready. Bases are getting loaded. Come on. That's what our 2018 is going to be. That's what it's going to be. So creating a dynasty, you got to be there. You want to learn how to cut your hours back, make more, have better quality time and relationships that are flourishing, that are harmonious. Creating a dynasty is where you need to be. There's one really big problem with this equation. There is already, Jen, is it 731 was the number you gave me? There's already 731 people registered for creating a dynasty. So sad, there's only X amount of seats left. That's a reality. That's a reality of so many seats that are left. So, and I don't know what that number is. I'll know that number in a couple of hours. People have been registering this weekend. So even if the event was $5,000, which it should be, that's the price that it should be. That's the price that other people do events for that don't get the results that we get. I want you to think about, every one of you, if the event was $5,000, would it be worth it to reduce the frustration and the stress and the miscommunication that's constantly happening and the roadblocks that are put inside of your way because of the communication style? Is it worth $5,000 to learn how to have more fun? Is it worth $5,000 for you to learn how to be able to communicate with everyone so you're not afraid of these people anymore, that you can actually build stronger teams, better teams, so everyone's having a good time, so you can learn your skill sets, take your skill sets and bring it in the marketplace more confidently, and you can actually get more of actually what you want? And is it worth $5,000 for you to be able to communicate in a way that you're no longer shrinking back, that you no longer are putting yourself under, but instead rising up and helping to lead people with that love and that tenderness and that mercy that you have? Is it worth that $5,000 so that you can learn how to help more people? You have such a heart to work around a cause. Imagine if you had the skill to be able to recruit others to come alongside you in that cause. Imagine the families that are going to be affected for generations to come, because I know you're not here just for you, but you're here for the change that is lasting even after you're dead and gone. That people take what you planted in them and they continue to move, they continue to do it, and we continue to get things right inside of our nation. So I have a question for you. What's the price? What price is it worth to be able to do those things? If it's $5,000, here's what I want you to do. Think about it. Think about if you went. Let me ask you this. How many of you have gotten more out of First Steps than you thought you would? If you've gotten more of the event than you thought you would, and this is kindergarten. That's college. Dynasty's college. This is kindergarten. This is scratching the surface. Dynasty's also where you're going to learn how to create wealth. You're going to learn how to create wealth there. We have another speaker who comes that has created wealth, has an amazing story. You're going to learn some simple things about how do I take the money that I have and how do I make that thing grow. That's the next level, and that's where you're going to learn that. Okay? So, we, like I said, we don't have enough seats in here for everybody. Who's already registered in this room for Dynasty? Yeah. Well, there you go. All of those people already have their ticket. Yep. And that is what it is. All right, so here's what I want you to do now. Rubies, we're all going to go to lunch, and we're going to go to lunch with someone we do not know again. Okay? I want you to find someone you do not know, and I want you to have lunch with them. Now listen carefully. We're going to come back here at 2:10. We're going to come back at 2:10, and here's what I want you to think about. I want you to process what you learned about Jens with each other, the stranger. Process what you learned. What you learned about yourself and what you learned about the people that you live with and work with. And I also want you to process and think about, what if I did go? I don't want you to make the decision. Don't make the decision. I just want you to think about it. And if it was a $5,000 ticket, what would you have to do to be able to create that opportunity for yourself to make that investment? Just think about it. Don't make the decision. I'll see you back here. Hold on a second. Jen, do I have a list of who I'm supposed to call? Okay, hold on. There's some people that are coming to lunch with me, so don't leave the room because you might be one of them. But there's some people who won a contest. Can someone just speak the names into your ears so we're not waiting for Jen? Can someone communicate with me that someone's being communicated to? Okay, and she has the list. Can she just tell you the list? Okay, thanks.
Chris Stallings. What? Daniel Ross. Elizabeth Barton. Krista Smith. And?
That's
and
it.
Danny Johnson.
Say the names again.
Chris Stallings, Daniel Ross, Elizabeth Bartow, and Krista Smith.
All of you, please Bartlow. Go where, Jen?
Bartlow.
Come over here. If your name was called, you were the top promoters out of the entire room. I would like to have lunch with you. For the rest of you, we'll see you here at 10 minutes after 2:00.